Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Come on, Kyler. Thank you. Jesus, we need you more than ever before. Sing it out loud. God is love. God is love. So we have to sing it out loud. We can't live without it. His love, his compassion, his mercy, his grace. It's new every morning. He gives us new love, new compassion, new grace, new mercy. Hallelujah. So I sing it out loud. I was asking the Lord, why? Why do I teach so much about judgment? And the Lord was telling me that is the prophetic anointing that's on my life to preach truth. And every time you preach truth, you're going to preach about judgment, because that's what it's about. It comes to judge the world of its sin, the sin that's in it. Hallelujah. And as you look around the world this morning, every day, from television to the all the different ads and stuff that you see and the pop-ups that you get on your phone, all is showing you is sin, S-I-N. And if someone don't talk about it, the people are going to think it's normal to continue to sin. That is okay. God is okay with it. You know, a lot of people are having all of these things going on, or these revivals and all of these come together. They have it going on. Summertime, people come out, spend some money. They're going to give some offers and tithes and give more, so they have the best choirs that they can find, the best solo minstrels that they can find, and they will have come together to make these concerts and stuff to make money, because it's a business. They're not concerned with how you live during the week from Sunday to Sunday, as long as you can come to these big get-togethers. But getting together is not going to get you into heaven. I want to tell you that this morning. What's going to get you into heaven is obedience. Obedience to the word of God, trusting God, depending on God, relying on God, doing what thus says the Lord. And this is what the Lord is dealing with me with. He is showing me this every day. I was on Deacon Fraser's prayer line on Saturday night, and people were talking, you know. I was just listening. You know, and I said, well, Deacon said, well, I heard a pastor, but he didn't hear my voice, because I didn't never break my voice. But I think it was his spirit man that made him know that I was on the line. But I couldn't break my silence, because I was hearing God speak to me about this message. And I was just taking notes that the Lord was giving me. And this morning, oh God, we just thank you and praise you, oh God, for your omnipotent presence, your omnipresent, your omniscient presence. Thank you for being God of all creation, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for the one who saves us and keeps us even when we are not worthy of being saved. But because you love us so much, you extend your hand of grace and mercy, oh God, your hand of salvation to us, oh God, that we might got opportunity to come and drink from the fountain of life, who is you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for those that are coming on the line, those that are listening by way of Android phones or satellite radio or by iPad or tablets or however they're listening. We pray blessings over them. Those that are sick in their bodies this morning, God, we ask to heal. Those that their minds are not focused, Lord, we ask you to line up their mind to focus, oh God. Lord, let not the enemy have opportunity to mock your people, oh God. But Lord, show yourself mighty and strong as you are through them, through us, oh God, that we might walk in perfect healing, oh God, perfect deliverance, oh God, perfect restoration in Jesus' holy name. We want to talk this word this morning, but this morning, oh God, I pray that if I speak a word that did not come out in these 66 books or by the Spirit, God caused my tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth, and never let me speak another word. My only objective, dear Lord Jesus, is to glorify your name, edify your body, and terrify the devil and his agents. In Jesus' holy name we pray. So we want to talk about this morning, and the subject matter, the title that the Lord gave me to this message is very uncommon. And the Lord says, when leaders follow their own leading, judgment follows. This is what the Lord said to me. When leaders, pastors, apostles, bishops, deacons, elders, ushers, leaders, evangelists, teachers, prophets, when they follow their own leading, judgment follows. Well, what is this saying? That is saying that they're not seeking God for what they need. They're not seeking God's leadership. They are going into the Word of God. They're studying the Word. They're hearing another preacher say something, or their pastor or their bishop say something, and they jump on it, and they say, oh, that's good. And they take it up, and they run with it. But they're not seeking God for his leading, for his guidance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We notice that in the Bible that majority, I would say, if not all, the prophets and prophetess, that they sought God for his direction. I would even go as far as say all of them sought God for his direction. They didn't move. They didn't do stuff. They didn't go no place unless they seek God. And if for some reason, at some point in time that they had to make a move, they experienced the judgment of God. They had to pay for moving on their own accord, moving when they think it was right, when they felt it was right, without hearing from God. Hallelujah. We saw when the apostle was in the upper room, they stayed there because God told them to stay. Stay until they were endowed with power. And they weren't happy about it. How you know they weren't happy? Because they were arguing with each other. They were fussing like we fuss with each other. Oh, God, they were fussing, so they wanted to know who was going to be the leader, who was going to carry on this mantle, who was going to take up the mantle of Jesus Christ, the rabbi, and move forward with it and share the kingdom of God. They were worrying. And when the time was right and they got to where they could really deal with each other, they got on one accord, the Bible says. They had one heart, one spirit, one mind. And when they got to that place, then the Holy Spirit came in. The Bible said like a rushing wind. It wasn't a rushing wind, but it came in like the sound of a rushing wind. And the Holy Spirit rests upon them and in them and begin to move through them and use them. They begin to speak with different tongues, hallelujah, as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is what God has wanted us to do. He wants us to follow him, to seek him out. In the book of Kings, 2 Kings chapter 17, this is where we want to start. We're talking about when leaders follow their own leading, judgment follows. Hallelujah, glory to God. So many preachers today, they say, well, I know I got to do this. I got to do that. They don't say, well, I believe God is leading me to do this. God has instructed me to say this. I believe that the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob has instructed me to say this, to do this according to his word. Because God instructs us to say something or do something, it's going to line up according to his word. It's not going to line up according to the world. It's going to line up according to his word. But we are trying to do each day, each night, every hour, every minute, every second, according to the world, because we want the world to love us, to fall in love with us and say we are great preacher, we are great evangelist, we are great teacher, we are great pastor, great prophet, great prophetess, a great apostle, whatever. We want the world to say that. Hallelujah. We don't want God to be pleased with us. Look at no. Go back and take an example from the prophets and our ancestors. Go ahead and look at them, the ones that came before us, and see how they responded. No, in time, you know, in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, 7 and 8, all day through there, 5, 6, 7, 8, you can see that people are doing their own thing and trying to distract. No, they're mocking him, laughing at him, calling him all kinds of names that's not in the book. God said no was pleasing. God was pleased. He was pleasing to God because why? He kept on following the assignment. He kept on being obedient to God's word, to what God said to do. Hallelujah. We deviate. We do this. We do that because it pleased us. Hallelujah. Listen to what it says. Hoshea, son of Elah, began to reign or rule over Israel in the 12th year of King Ahaz's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 9 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, but not to the same extent as the kings of Israel who ruled before him. King Shalmaneser of Assyria attacked King Hosea. So Hosea was forced to pay heavy tributes to Assyria. But Hosea stopped paying the annual tributes and conspired against the king of Assyria by asking King Saul of Egypt to help him shake free of Assyria's power. When the king of Assyria discovered this treachery, he seized Hosea and put him in prison. No. See, they had loan sharks back then, just as they have now. Loan sharks now, as they have back then, let's say it that way. They will sweat you. They come into the city, and they see you have a business going, and they tell you, and the only way your business is going to operate in this city, they tell you, this is my city. You're going to have to pay tributes to me. And out of word, I'm going to come and I'm going to collect some money from you once a week or once a month. How much you paying? They might tell you you got to pay 10%, 20%, 40%, because they believe that they have the strength and power to overpower you. So Hosea didn't want to do that. He called on the King Saul of Egypt to help him. But then they put him in prison. Then verse 5 says, then the king of Assyria invaded the entire land, and for 3 years he besieged the city of Samaria. Finally, the ninth year of King Hosea's reign, Samaria fell, and the people of Israel were exiled to Assyria. They were settled in colonies in Hela, along the banks of Hebar River in Goshen, and in the cities of the Medes. This disaster came upon the people of Israel because they worship other idols. See, when we go off and we want to go to the tarot card reader, we want to go to the palm reader, we got to go to the crystal ball reader, we want to go down to the river and meet the mermaids, we want to meet the marine gods. Because when they come up with the water, they come up there and they come and bring that satanic power. You know how many pastors, you may not know them individually, but a lot of pastors, a lot of leaders, so-called apostles and bishops and all these people, they go down to the water to meet the marine gods. And they pay tributes to them. They do things. You know how they do? They take somebody's child, somebody's grandchild, and they take down to the water, and they cut the child up and let the blood flow in the water. Hallelujah. Flow in the water so that the marine gods can be in that child's spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Take that child's spirit at the water so that they have power. See, they worship in different gods. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've seen watching that stuff last night. I've seen how the people are coming against, and these people that we're voting for, they're coming against Christianity. They now got the homosexual going in and the satanic worshipers going into the school and having an after-school curriculum, and they're going in there teaching the kids about Satan and saying that it's okay. It is okay to worship the satanic deities, the gods, and all these rituals and all this stuff they're doing to all grandkids and kids. And the kids are believing that stuff because the kids are gullible, but the parents are not standing up. They want to take your parental rights away from you, giving your rights to Satan. Hallelujah. Listen to what he said. This is so powerful, I tell you. Glory to God. When leadership deviate, they deviated from God and following their own leadership, their own way, their own thought, their own pattern of thinking, their own plan. They say, well, I have a plan for this ministry to grow. This is what I'm going to do for this ministry to grow. They don't ask God. God is the one. Hallelujah. Except God builds the house, the labor is in vain. They don't ask God. They don't seek God. They say, Lord, what should I do next? Lord, how should I go forth in bringing this house together? How should I go forth, Lord? Lead me in the way that I should go, Lord. They don't ask God. They say, well, if I kill some more chickens, if I buy some more hot dogs, if I sell some more hamburgers, all people will come. If I have on more concerts, people will come. People coming for the music. You ever notice that after the concert, after the praise and worship, after the praise and worship finished, after praise and worship singing, the pastor come from the altar, the sanctuary begin to get thin out. People start putting up a finger and walking out. I don't know what the reason is that. But they start walking out the house. They start walking out because they have gotten what they came for, the good music. They come to hear their favorite keyboard player. They come to hear their favorite lead singer. Oh, see, you got to hear her. She sings. Man, she sings like an angel. He sings like an angel. When you should hear when how he sings, they talk about the songbirds that lead the praise and worship. And when the word of God is coming, if it's sung doctrine, they walk out before the pastor comes. Say, well, Bishop so-and-so, he's coming to the altar now. Apostle so-and-so is coming to the altar. You look around, you see people jumping up. They don't have no respect for the man of God or woman of God. They don't have respect for the word of God. They're gone. And some people come up there, you want to leave because they're not coming to tell you the word of God. They come and tell you all these stories. They have a whole bunch of stories to tell you. They tell you stories instead of telling what the word of God, how to live in a way, that, a manner that pleases God. The thing in this subject matter, the people begin to worship different entities. It said that this disaster came upon the people of Israel because they worship other gods. They sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them safely out of Egypt and had rescued them from the power of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. See, these other leaders are coming and telling them that these other gods, these idol worshipers, these gods that they made of stone and wood was the ones who brought them out of Egypt. You see this in the word. A god that cannot talk, cannot walk, cannot touch, cannot do anything for them had brought them out of Egypt. And they begin to worship these other gods. God had already warned them before they came out that when they get into Canaan, and these are the cities that he's going to take them, do not get involved with the people that are there. Don't worship their God. God knew that they had false gods. They had other entities that they were worshiping that were not real, that were not alive. They were dead. He knew that he's the only true and living God. The Bible says that they had followed the practices of the pagan nations. The Lord had driven from the land ahead of them, as well as the practices of the kings of Israel had introduced. See, the king of Israel, they have turned back from following the true Jehovah God. They started worshiping idols, and then they enticed the people of Israel to worship idols. I remember Washington metropolitan area, had a friend from my country. Can't remember his name now. I forgot his name. It's such a long time, 40-some years ago. And he used to go to a Buddha temple. His wife, his children, all of them, and other friends of ours, our associates from Barbados. And all of them had nice homes and nice cars. And, you know, I was brought up in church. You know, we all were on the our churches in the country, all the Caribbean churches, you know, African churches was under Catholic, you know that. So I was brought up under this Episcopal church that did all the routines just like the Catholic, the way, the robe, the way they sprinkle you with water when they say they baptize you and all this stuff they were doing. And I saw these guys they looked like they were flourishing, they were prospering. And I said, man, I got to do this stuff. I got to learn this stuff. I find myself in the Buddha temple. I find myself having one of those, as they call it, gahanja or something, gahanja I think it was, that you put on the wall with you have a little incense container incense container, a little Buddha doll that you put in there, and you stick your incense in this thing, and a little cone incense look like a little pyramid, and you burn that, and you chant to this statue. Well, one night I was in all of these Korean women, I mean, beautiful women and handsome men. I mean, the people look, the skin clean, man, I like silk. And I'm inside this thing. And even as I'm here on this, really, Lord is bringing it back to me this morning. And I was in there chanting to this Buddha, fat belly little man, a little statue that can't walk, can't talk, can't do nothing. And they believe that when they chant to this little thing, that all of these things happen for them, that they go into this Buddha's realm, and Buddha release blessings for them. I believe the same thing too. And as I'm looking at this text, I'm seeing how I was doing the same thing that these Israelites were doing. They begin to worship these other entities. And God is speaking to them. God had already forewarned them before he brought them out of Egypt. When you get into Canaan land and these different lands, these other nations that I have driven out the people out, the people are going to come back. But I don't want you to worship their gods. Don't get involved with them. Don't marry their daughters. Don't marry their sons. God had already given them a blueprint. But you see what happened in their leadership, as I'm speaking this morning. The leadership that was over them was leading them the wrong way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is after Joshua is gone. Joshua dead. Moses dead. Aaron's dead. Hur's dead. They got new leadership that don't really know the supreme God the way they should know him. So now they're worshiping the very thing that God told them not to do, they're doing. Isn't that like us? Because it looks good to us, we gravitate to it. It sounds good to us. We say, oh, I'm going to do that. But we're not checking, as I said earlier, we're not checking with God and asking God, how should we go? What should we do? We think we know enough because we have the degrees now. We have the plaques to prove. We have spent 4 years in our school of theology. So we got the plaques to say that, and we put it on the walls so all the other preachers can see. Here in this text here in 2 Kings chapter 17, we're talking about when leaders follow their own leading, judgment follows. Hear what I'm saying? The people of Israel had also secretly done many things that were not pleasing to the Lord their God. They built pagan shrines for themselves in all their towns, from the smallest outpost to the largest walled city. They set up sacred pillars and Asherah poles at the top of every hill and under every great tree. They offer sacrifices on all the hilltops, just like the nations the Lord had driven from the land ahead of them. So the people of Israel had done many evil things, arousing the Lord's anger. Now you see why God get angry. God told them, these things, all these things have been done for us, for our learning. That's why we need to seek God, all of us. We need to seek God through his word and see what God wants done. If what we are doing is pleasing to God, that's what we need to do. God's anger is aroused. God is displeased. Oh, everybody think God, when he is such an awesome, loving God, he would not do this. Now, when we start to worship at a God, it offends God. Wouldn't you be offended if you done so much for your wife? And all of a sudden, she walked out the house and she started having intercourse with other men? Or your husband, won't you be offended? Well, Israel is God's bride. We are his bride. He is our bridegroom. And we leave him and we go and do other things. Oh, I'm saved. I'm sanctified. But now I'm going down to the Buddha temple. I'm going over there because I see the Muslims seem like they're prospering. So I'm going to go and I'm going to fellowship with the Muslims because I want to prosper. So we move according to how the world is moving because it looks like it's prospering. And we start getting in dozen and all the tough stuff that the world is doing. We should be drawing the world to us by the power that dwells inside of us. But we find that the world is drawing us, the Christians, the leaders. Leaders are getting more tattoos and more nail piercings and stuff that they're doing because they think they can do this and draw the world to them. No, the world going to draw you in. The Bible says two cannot walk together unless they're in agreement. They're going to draw us in, and we end up going to the club. We end up smoking. We end up doing all the things that are contrary to the word of God. Next thing you said, well, let your hair down, man. Girl, let your hair down. You're not in the church building today. We're out at the park. We had a family gathering. Just let your hair down. Be yourself. Well, you don't belong to yourself. You don't belong to yourself. We were bought with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at Calvary. We belong to him now. We don't act the same. We shouldn't act the same. We ought to be different. But we find ourselves trying to fit in when we ought to be standing out. They built all these sacred pillars and stuff, the Asherah, gods, deities. They rose the anger of God. Yes, they worship idols. Despite the Lord's specific and repeated warnings. Again and again, the Lord has sent his prophets and seers to warn both Israel and Judah. Turn from all your evil ways. Obey my commands and decrees. The entire law that I commanded your ancestors to obey. And that I give you through my servants, the prophets. And see, Lord, this is why we teach and preach the way we teach him. Because when we leave this world, when our time comes that we leave this world and this ministry, word goes over the airwaves and they're in the archives and people go back. They're in the archives of heaven. God said this. You were on Blog Talk Radio. You were part of Blog Talk Radio. You visited the ministry. You heard the prophet over there talking. And he was saying, she was saying exactly what I say, not what they wanted to say, but what I told them to say, according to the manuscript. I give them the basic instruction before leaving earth, and they used it. They didn't try to teach like any other preacher. They didn't try to teach like the one on television or saw where they were. They were teaching straight from my book. They give you word for word. You heard the word, but you deviate from the word. But the Israelites would not listen, just like many of us are not listening today to the true prophet of God, the true prophetess of God. We're not listening. You know, when we listen, when the word is filled with honey, when it is filled with Kool-Aid, when it's watered down like lemonade, we say, oh, preacher, real hard tonight. I love this evangelistic ministry. I love this crusade. I love this convocation. I love this revival. Why? Because nobody's preaching against sin. Nobody's talking against sin. So we are comfortable. We know that we live in a promiscuous lifestyle. We are comfortable in the conference. We are comfortable. There's no conviction going on. There's no conviction. John the Baptist was lost his head. He lost his head because of the message that he said to the Herods. He preached against sin. Yes, he preached the kingdom of God, but he also preached against sin. The people didn't want that. The king had him put in prison, had his neck. Then the Herodias' daughter, she said, she gave her mother. King wanted to sleep with her, the king's brother's wife. And he said, anything you want, I'll give you even to a half of my kingdom. And she think about that. She thinks about that. And he said it over three times. And she held him to his word. You sure you would give me even to your half? Oh, yeah, anything. You dance before me. He wants to sleep with her. And she danced this erotic dance that mess the kid up. See, Satan knows exactly what to do to mesmerize some of the people of God, not all the people of God. You know the saying, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And she said, give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king wanted her to dance that nasty dance. So after I drink my wine and I'm feeling good, I can sleep with this young girl. John the Baptist called him an adulterer. He was sinning. Get off, had his head on the platter, give to the girl to give to her mother. What the mother going to do, cook the head? No, they just want to use that have power over the man of God. The Lord was angry in this text in 2 Kings chapter 17 because we are doing things. God is angry now today for the things that we are doing. We are not standing firm on the word of God. We are not telling the people about the lifestyle that they're living because why? God said we got to imitate him. In this text, this is what God says. Listen, but the Israelites would not listen. They were as stubborn as their ancestors who had refused to believe in the Lord their God. They rejected his decrees and the covenant he had made with their ancestors, and they despised all, not some. Listen to what he says. And they despised all his warnings. Verse 15, 2 Kings chapter 17. They worshipped worthless idols, so they became worthless themselves. They followed the example of the nations around them, disobeying the Lord's command not to imitate him. People are going to try to entice us to be like them. Come, let's go down to the carnival. Let's go to the Mardi Gras. Let's go to the happy hour, the peep show. Oh, you know, this is Saturday evening. You know, the people are not here. They're not watching you. They're probably at the mall. They're probably at the beach. It's warm. Oh, no, they may be at the park. Hey, come on, let's go down to the happy hour. Let's go down to the club. Let's go down there. You don't have to pay to go. The girls dancing half naked. Enticing us to be like them. To join them, and we're not telling them about, no, I can't do that stuff. Most of them said, oh, yeah, man, I go to, how long are you going to stay? I hope you're not staying too long, you know, trying to find an excuse to go. And that old demon-minded person going to tell that you call your friend, goes, well, I'm just going to stand this for 45 minutes or so, maybe half an hour tops. When you get in there, you drink a cup of beers. He said, well, yeah, I don't drink beer. Man, one beer is not going to trouble you. That's what they tell you. One beer is not going to trouble you. One beer, you can handle one beer. Because you're thinking now if you leave the club and go and you got to join up with one of the brothers or sisters from the church that they might smell the alcohol on himself. And one beer is not going to trouble you. Yeah. And you end up getting there and getting intoxicated. Or you drink wine, you drink two, the girl come and dance on your lap. Let her breast jump in your face. You know how to shake their breasts in your face. I know, because I used to go to the happy hour. I know I used to go to the evening club time. You know, called happy hour before the sun go down. You end up there. You go in there after you get off of work. Still got your dirty door clothes on. Going in there, you supposedly want to spend 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Next thing you know, you're there for 2 hours, 3 hours. Come out, can't even drive your car. God beg somebody to drive. You're right. Leave your car. Come back for it later, next day or something. I know I did that stuff. They don't want to follow. They rejected all the commands of the Lord their God and made two cows from metal. They set up an Asherah pole and worshiped Baal and all the forces of heaven. See, they begin to worship the angels and the stars and worship the moon and the sun and all this stuff they begin worshiping. Idol worship. God said, thou shalt have no other God but me. They know this because God told them that. Through Moses, the servant of God told them. But they despise everything that God wanted done according to his word. Just like us. God told us don't fornicate, we fornicate. God that don't commit adultery, we commit adultery. He tell us don't lie, we lie. He tell us don't gossip, we gossip. He said, I hear the thought, I despise the tale of air, we still gonna gossip. We despise just like they do. We are Christians. We are saved and sanctified on Sunday morning, Wednesday night. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we are something else. I don't know what it is, but we are something else. We are not acting as God's children, as God's ambassadors. As soon as somebody says something that we don't like, we flip out. We go off the chain, off the wall. Do you hear me today? But yet still we say that we are born-again believers. We don't like to forgive people. We don't like to forgive. And then if we say we forgive, we say, I forgive, but I'm not going to forget. This is what we said. I hear a lot of preachers say that. I don't forgive them, but I ain't going to forget. I never forget what they did to me. Well, suppose Jesus had done that at the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done. From the cross. He set an example for us. Folk going to do stuff to us. They don't know what they're doing. The devil are leading them. Here in this book of 2 Kings, we're talking about when leaders follow their own leading. Judgment follows. Now you see the stuff that's going on here in the United States. The leaders are doing their own thing. They're not listening to the people. The people are suffering, but the leaders are still doing their own thing. People are dying, but the leaders are still doing their own thing. People are hurting everywhere over this country, over the world. But the leaders that God put in place, they said there's no one in authority except God put there. They're doing their own thing. Why? They're not listening to God. They're doing their own thing. So here in this text here, we see these leaders of Israel. They're doing what they choose to. They're setting up these idols for the people to worship. They even sacrificed their own sons and daughters in the fire. They consulted fortune tellers and practiced sorcery and sold themselves to evil, arousing the Lord's anger. Do you see that? You got bishops, you got apostles, you got prophets, you got evangelists, you got pastors, you got teachers that are going down to the water at nighttime at 5 o'clock. They're going down to the river, they're going down to the lake, they're going down to the ocean. To have an encounter with a marine god, a devil that comes up out of the water. They're stealing people's treasure. Some of them are even giving their own treasure and grand treasure as sacrifice to the marine gods so they can have power when they go up on the altar. And they get rings that say, do as I say and do as I do. They get these rings that are mesmerized, but the rings got some type of satanic race on these rings. I'll tell you what I know. I said, if you want the apostle, you want this kind of power, you can do this, you can do this. And I don't need that kind of power. I got enough power already. I got God living on the inside of me. You can have this ring. The way you put the ring, you will mesmerize them. Rest your hand on the head, on the forehead. You'll mesmerize them. You'll get what you need. I don't need that stuff. I got what I need. I got Jesus. I got Yeshua living on the inside of me. I know that. I know that because I know when my mind is going here, going there, he just got me right and put me right back on straight and narrow path. I'll tell you that. I know. I know you're all going to get me here. So when my mind don't go there, well, you're alive. All of us have got flesh and blood. And that flesh and blood wants to go here, wants to do that. If you don't have the Holy Spirit to hold you in track, you'll find yourself doing some stuff. Your husband, your wife will say, well, I never thought he'd do that. No. Flesh and blood. That's why we have the Holy Ghost to keep us on track. No. Here, look. They aroused the anger, caused them to get mad. Because the Lord was very angry with Israel, he swept them away from his presence. Only the tribe of Judah remained in the land. You think that God, because God loves you so much that he won't let you stay in his presence, continue sinning? Lord told me the other day, I was laying on the bed and I was just asking God some questions. The Lord told me, he said, look, he says, you tell the people, as I went into the temple 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago, and I cleansed the temple, he says, I'm going in the house again and I'm going to clean the temple. Because I have too much corrupt leaders in the house now. That's what the Lord told me. Too much corrupt leaders. They're not treating this thing as a service. They're treating this thing as a business. And God has, he's the only one who can clean the house, because these people think this is my ministry. This is my church. So he's the only one that can come in and clean the house to let the world know it is his church. And he's going to clean the church. Move on some of these wicked, corrupt leaders out of the house of the Lord. So the people that God has shed his blood for at Calvary can now walk in the light, can truly come out of darkness and walk in the light. He's going to give them pastors or after their own heart that would teach them not after their own heart, but after his heart. Excuse me. Not after their heart, but after his heart. Because right now they have pastors according to their own heart. They have the pastors. Tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. God said, I'm going to give you pastors after my own heart, his own heart. Only Judah remained. But even the people of Judah refused to obey the commands of the Lord their God, for they followed the evil practices that Israel had introduced. I told you I was in Washington metropolitan area, and with these guys that I grew up with back in our country, back in Barbados, I saw them was practicing Buddhism, and I saw them have owning 2 and 3 houses, cars, nice cars. And, you know, I was brought up in the Episcopal Church, which was somewhat a little contaminated, but it was better than what they would do. And I started going to Buddha temple. But even although I was in this Catholic, Catholic cousin, nephew church of the Catholic, God said, look, this is not where I want you to be. I didn't know a lot about the Holy Spirit then, but the Holy Spirit was even keeping me in check then. And he didn't let me go all the way with the Buddha. I was going there and chanting with them, but I didn't become a member. You know, I didn't give my signature in that church, but I was going in that temple. I was going with them. Once a week, I was going over there. I said, no, Holy Spirit said no. The Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel, and he punished them by handing them over to their attackers until he had banished Israel from his presence. A lot of leaders get pushed back by God. Some of them will just up, and you're going to think they're just quitting the house. But God going to just get them up, because they're not even worshiping him. They're not even worshiping him, do you hear me? They're worshiping another God, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Yeshua. Not Yahweh. They're worshiping another God that will make them rich. So they look just like the world, and the world say, yes, I want to go over there because Pastor so-and-so, oh, he's doing well. He drives two, he got 2 Mercedes Benz, he got 2 Cadillacs, he got a couple, Rolls Royce. He got his own jet. That ministry is really flourishing. But they go over there, yeah, I want to be over here, because you know what, they don't teach anything against sin. They don't talk about it. Long as I come to the house, it's okay. That's what the pastor said. Long as you come, it's okay. But these are supposed to be God's people. And you see what he did to them. Israel, his firstborn. See what he did to them? He banished them from his presence. And when the Lord tore Israel away from the kingdom of David, they chose Jeroboam, son of Nebat, as their king. But Jeroboam drew Israel away from following the Lord and made them commit a great sin. See, this is why we have to listen to the preacher. Listen to the preacher, male or female, and see if what they are saying lines up with the word of God. See, as they're talking about the Jesus of Nazareth, the one that gave his life for all life, the one who was nailed, who was pierced, who was crowned, the one who was abused along the 14 stations all the way to Calvary, Says they're talking about him. Says the preacher has any conviction in his life. Or he is just an actor like one of those Hollywood agents. We got to think about it. Some of these preachers got more Hollywood in them than they have Holy Ghost. One preacher over there, here's a Hollywood pastor to call him. I don't remember his name. But he's preaching all of this heresy. And he got all of these millionaires, billionaires, Hollywood pastors that come to him for counsel. You all probably saw his wife on the internet. And she was on some talk show recently. You know the lady. You know the pastor. But they're leading the people of God into hell. Because they're talking about this abortion thing and they said that you're not in agreement with some of these Christians that's holding the word as a sound doctrine. The word is sound doctrine. Taking God's word as it is, you got to take it as is. You can't cut it up. You can't tear it up. You can't do what you feel like with it. It's God's word. You got to take it at face value. It is saying this and this, but God is saying, I got to take it. I can't look at it in other ways. God said this, I got to take it that way. I made some of them foolish errors when I was younger. I didn't know what I know now. That's why you need a preacher that know what he know to tell you the truth. Don't compromise the word. Man, I need money. We all need money to pay bills. Especially like this season here. Air condition running nonstop. How about air condition was down to 10 on the suction side? It should be at 75. At 100 degrees, it should be giving me 75 on the lower side, and on the high side, it should give me 255 or 270, 260 on the high side. So I have all types of freon in my garage. I got 30-pound balls of different freons. Because you got different systems. And my baby was upset. He said, well, the thing is running, and we're still cooling off. And I had a job to go make it like $500 or $600. And I was so. I said, well, I can't wipe with that $600. I said, I got to get my house right. Your house is not right. Your wife is not right. Your family is not right. You ain't going to be right. You ain't going to have no peace. They don't have peace. You don't have no peace. So I got to go to the sun outside. It was over 100 degrees. I had to go outside and take my gauges out there and hook it up and get it down. Now this thing is freezing inside here now. I had to sleep underneath the blanket last night because it was so cold. You got to follow the blueprint. You can't water this thing down. Hallelujah. You got to take this thing the way it is. If people don't want it, let them go. You can't force them to stay. He said, no one can come to me except I draw them. How are you going to draw them when you're preaching the truth? When you are teaching the truth will convict them. Either they come or they go. The truth will convict them to stay or go. They said, well, I don't want that. The truth is still the truth. You know, he said, you should know the truth. The truth should make you free. The truth alone, you got to know it. Get into it. Get it in you. My pastor said, don't get in the way. I'm going home and get in the way. He said, no, son. Go get the word in you. When the word is hidden in your heart, you're not going to sin against God. You got to put it in. Let me go a little further. We got to go to Hosea chapter 10. I think I got plenty of time. So look here. Look, he says, God banished him from his presence. For when the Lord tore Israel away from the kingdom of David, they chose Jeroboam. Jeroboam, excuse me, son of Nebat, as their king. But Jeroboam drew Israel away from following the Lord and made them commit a great sin. And the people of Israel persisted in all the evil ways of Jeroboam. They did not turn from these sins until the Lord finally swept them away from his presence, just as all the prophets had warned. So Israel was exiled from their land to Assyria, where they remain to this day. God has to drive people away. Sometimes he got to drive them away. The good, faithful, loving God, the God that's full of mercy and grace, He's not going to let you keep standing up there living in sin. And he's not going to let the leaders continue to deliver that nasty, filthy message to his people. That he paid the price for at Calvary. He got to clean house. I told you, he told me he's going to clean house. Let's go to Hosea chapter 10. He's going to clean house. He's not going to play with them. They want him to play, but he's not going to play. Let me tell you, he's not going to play. He's not going to play with them. These folk wants to hang around and play church. God ain't paying. He ain't shed his blood at Calvary for people for us to go up there and listen to he talking about Israel. He talking about Israel. You hear what I'm saying? God is speaking about his people. We just got grafted in, and we come on out, and we want to act like we don't know God. God is a God of justice. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of love. But he's not a God of foolishness. I want you to know that. He's not a God of foolishness. That we think we can continue in fooling around and playing church, and God going to say, oh, yeah, come on over here. Let me give you an ice cream cone. Let me give you some peanuts, some cashews. No, no. God ain't going to do that. God is serious about, he is serious about what he is, what he called us to do. Go to Hosea chapter 10. Glory to God. We're talking about these leaders, man. I'm telling you. Israel, listen to this. He says, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he has increased the altars. Listen to this. These folk are making money. They are getting richer and richer. And the more that they get, the more sin they do. Look at Hollywood. I mean, I was listening to a guy, you all know the guy, he used to make these cars and say, make my ride new again or something like that. He had a ride. You should make these cars. You should remodel the cars and stuff. Take an old car and to do it on new chrome and new dashboard, new seats, new steering wheel, all this stuff, new rims and that new. They do just refurbish the car, make a new. The black guy, I can't remember his name, but he said they had this big get together in Florida. All of these stars, the black stars, you know them, all of them. Highfalutin star, they went on down to Florida, and they got this big edifice that they had, Hollywood edifice. And all these men and women, they got these big pools. Make me talk back about in the Roman time where they would have the pools and stuff, and all the emperors and stuff would get in the pools with all of these prostitutes. And all of these husbands and wives are swapping their husband and swapping their wives. Hollywood! And a lot of them saying, calling themselves Christians. They're Christians by day and devils by night. And they're going to these pools, man. He says, men with men and women with women. And they're doing, said that all Jesus said, oh, it was just like pigs together. He said, and one guy, I ain't going to call the guy's name, but he said, the guy told him, I said, man, come on, brother. Come on, man, get him the fun. Get his fun. So he looked at him. He said he was well embarrassed. He said, I was ashamed because I know this particular guy for a long time. He said, I know his wife. I know his children. He said, I didn't think that he was involved with that kind of stuff. He said, but in Hollywood, the richer they get, the more sinful they become. And these are the ones that want to entice your children and grandchildren out to live. These musicians that get on television and talk all this yin-yang is the ones that write this stuff, subliminal message in their songs to capture your children and my children, my grandchildren, great-grandchildren. That's why we got to stay on top of this stuff. We got to stay on top of preaching the truth. Let your children hear you preaching the truth, and let your children and grandchildren see you living the truth. This is what the message is about. When leaders follow their own leading, judgment follows. This is the message. This is the topic for today. You can think about it. I gotta do a part two of this because I can't get through all this. I got a lot of scripture the Lord gave me this morning and last night. I can't get through it. Here in the Logos Bible, he says Israel is a luxuriant vine. He used fruit for himself. The more his fruit, the more he made numerous altars. The more his land prospered, the more he improved his stone pillars. Their heart is false. Now they must bear their guilt. He will break down their altars. He will destroy their stone pillars. For now they will say, we have no king. Indeed, we did not fear God, Yahweh. And what can a king do for us? See, the people are rejecting God. Hey, I mean, you just go on and turn on your TV, turn on your radio, and listen to the people. Not just America. Listen to them from all over the world. Go and listen to BBC News. Go and listen to CNN, NBC, CBN, CBS. Listen to them. Listen to these people that went and spent 4, 5, 6 years in college and have degrees in their field. They have master degrees in their field, and listen to them talking like idiots. Because they're talking against the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. They're not in agreement with the thing that God says. They don't want to live. They want to die. Some of them say they can't wait to go to hell. They got the three crosses on the side of their face. I've seen them with a tattoo. Three crosses upside down on the side of their face. Got them on the forehead, on their arm. Because the God of this world is blinding them. Blinding their minds. Listen here. In the King James, he says, now they say we have no king because of fear. We fear not the Lord. What then shall a king do for us? If they fear not the Lord, what can a king do for you? If you don't fear the Lord, what can a president do for you? What can a governor do for you? What can a mayor do for you? You don't have no fear of the Lord. You do your own thing. This is a message of judgment. And the leader's going to be judged. And also the followers going to be judged. This is what the message is about. God is speaking today. Not David Callender. The word is speaking to all of us. As leaders, as ambassadors, we got to preach the truth. The whole truth. Ezekiel said you got to eat the whole scroll, the whole roll. You got to eat it all. He says, they are spoken words swearing falsely and making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. We make agreement how we're going to serve the Lord with gladness. We say, Lord, I'll do everything that you said do when we first come into ministry. And we get hooked up with different leaders and we take on their characteristics. We begin to follow the leaders as men and women of God and not realizing that they're not following the doctrine. They have a new doctrine. And Paul said, you got to deviate. You got to separate yourself from them. If they come with another doctrine, you got to cut them off. You can't continue to follow them because the edifice that you didn't look good. You got nice carpets, nice velour pews, and you got nice soundboard and all this stuff, sound engineer, all this stuff, everything sound. You got a fantastic choir, fantastic praise team. Oh, you got so many people in the sanctuary full. No, you can't stay and then go to hell. You know, the way to hell is wide. The Bible says hell is enlarged in its mouth. Thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions going to go through that door. Well, you got to go through that door with them. They stay on the street and not far. So you can really see the Savior and be with the Savior. I don't like the crowd. I like the cloud. The cloud leading you where you need to get. Cloud by day and fire by night. You want to follow the cloud, not the crowd. Hallelujah. Don't get this thing discombobulated. Stay with the cloud. The crowd look good. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people over here. I'm going over there. They got 15,000, 20,000 members. They got three services. Oh, big sanctuary. You see that sanctuary? Man, that sanctuary is high. Look at the altar. Look at this. Look at that. Look at the lights and all that stuff, man. Don't be messing around with that stuff. You're going to the club. The club got a lot of lights and a big stage, too. People dying all nighttime, getting shot down with stuff. Don't get caught up with that stuff. Get caught up with the truth. Let's just go back in here. Jose, short. We're going to follow this, cover this. This is short, only 15 verses. So we're gonna do that. And then we're going to, it's a short text. And then we're going to we come back another day. We are fighting that day. We go to Ezekiel. Okay. Jesus, have mercy. Lord. He talked about God like he's nobody. You ever seen that? I mean, the man that said, let there be light. And they would like, let us create God, man in our own image. I mean, God just speaks with such power and such authority. And then mankind just talk to God and talk about God like God is, he's not a sovereign being, like he's not over everything and everyone. And they want to do their own thing. You should have got the, you don't hear people say, let's stand up, Jesus is in the house. We're in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Oh, El Shaddai is in the house. I sense the presence of the Lord is in the house. Let us stand up and worship the Lord. No, they're dancing for the praise team. And when the apostle, the bishop coming, I said, well, some people sitting down, I said, let's stand on our feet. The bishop is coming in. Now we're praising the bishop, praising the apostle. The Spirit of God is there. Can you get up and say, I thank God? Oh, I praise the Lord. His presence is in the house. Give him praise. Praising mankind and womankind, all that stuff, we praise it. Hey, I was in the church, man, and the people didn't talk too much. But when the bishop come in the house, man, everybody jumping up for joy. Like he had the keys to heaven and hell. If I sit down, people, I know I got about this. I said, well, you know. Then look and say, well, he don't want to get up, but he, you know, I get up for Jesus. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because the chaos of the heaven, that's the place of sin. For the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof shall rejoice on it for the glory thereof, because it departed from it. The calf is idol worship. But you see, God gonna have all these idols torn down, ground to powder. These people are seriously worshiping idols, and they're standing for it, but God is saying something else. God now is mad. His wrath is kindled because the people have gone ahoy. Worshiping other gods, other entities, stone gods, wood gods, all type of stuff, water gods. They are worshiping the stars, the moon, and the sun. All these different things that can't do nothing for them. The glory departed. It shall be also carried on to Assyria for a present to King Jareb of Ephraim. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be a ship of his own counsel. See, we're living and we are focusing on our own way of thinking, our own way of doing things. But what does the Bible say? That's the question we should be asking ourselves. What does the Bible say about homosexual? What does the Bible say about adultery? What does it say about fornication? What does it say about lying? That's God's commands. What does the Bible say about honoring those in authority? What did the Bible say about honoring your mother and father? Today the kids don't care no about mother and father, most of them. Especially those ones that have not been brought up in church. They don't care nothing about mother and father. They kill their own mother, kill their own father. They kill their own son, they kill their own daughters. They say, I do, I love her, until death does part, and then they break the woman's hand, bust the jawbone, they kill the woman, kill the husband, kill the wife. the very ones they say they love, because they have no reverence for God. Let's just go through this thing. You see, Israel shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of her own counsel. See, doing her own thing. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. You know, when you ever seen water foam on the water, you can take a stick and just move across the top, and the foam will cling to the stick. That's how fast and how easy these leaders are going to come down. I'm telling you, God's going to clean the house. And you're going to see some pastors preaching. When they sit back in their fancy chair, they're not going to be able to get up. This is the prophetic word. I'm telling you, I promise you that you will live to see it. These witches and warlocks that's in the altar, you will see it. They're not God's people. They don't belong to Jehovah God. The high places also of heaven, the sin of Israel shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars. And they shall say to the mountains, cover us. To the hills, fall on us. You will have some people in the altars, coming to these altars. You will see them for yourself. You are those of you that can see in the spirit and hear in the spirit. You can see some deacons and some elders and some ministers that say they are ministers and elders on the altar. And you're going to see the spirit that's on them. You can, for they are thorns and they are thistles. They're destructive, deceptive. They are come to destroy, kill, steal, and destroy. You will see them. Just keep your eyes wide open. Say, God, open my spiritual eyes. I'll stop my fleshy ears and open my spiritual ears so I can hear when the man is speaking, when the woman is speaking, when they're speaking from the altar, if they belong to you. You'll hear. You'll hear in the spirit. Bible says, he that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the spirit says. Oh, Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle of Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. God is going to allow chastisement to come. See, because we have turned our backs on God, we have gone to another direction. We are going in another direction away from God. We are doing what makes us feel good, what sounds good, what looks good, but it's not pleasing to God, the United States. You have them bringing in them people into the schools to indoctrinate our children and grandchildren, and we are sitting still because we want to keep, we are in a computer age or microwave age where we want everything done quickly. So we don't have time to spend. We're not making time with our children and grandchildren to teach them the truth. So what's teaching them? The internet, TikTok, Instagram, Periscope. All of these things are teaching our children and grandchildren. And it's leading them away from a righteous path. You can't blame nobody. We can't blame anybody. We got to blame ourselves. Because we're not taking the time to teach them the truth. Hear me today. God is speaking. And Ephraim is a heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn, but I pass over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clubs. So I'm going to train them to do what they need to do. God say, he says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and lay righteousness upon you. God said, it's time for you to change. It's time for you to look on the inside of yourself instead of looking on the outside. We're looking at everybody else. It has to start with us as leaders. We have to start to consecrate ourselves. Allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify us, set us apart. You have plowed wickedness, hear that. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies, listen to God speaking to us. People have taken the word and watered down the word to suit your desires, to match your desires. God said it's time for you to sow, put out some righteousness. Hallelujah. Tell the truth. Don't compromise the truth. We say, well, I'm not going to talk about people need to live this way and that way because it's not my right. I'm not the judge. But God put you in that position. You look at it, that's the way. When people say you're judging, that's because they feel comfortable in their sin. They feel comfortable in their sin, and they don't want you to talk about their sin. Hallelujah. Telling the truth is not judging somebody. The truth will judge them, but you're telling the truth. What does God say? What is God saying to the church today? Because we're looking at everybody. We're looking at the world. What is he saying to the church? He's saying that the church is compromising his word. The church is not preaching the whole truth. The church is preaching the half truth. Yes, I say so. Majority of them are preaching the half truth because they're afraid to infiltrate hurt in the people. They don't want to inflict hurt on the people. But God loves us enough. Bible says so. He loves us enough to chasten us. If a mother loves her son and her son is doing wickedly, she said, go pick. I know when I was back in the country, my mama, may she rest in peace, knock on wood. She would tell me, go to that tree over there. She said, go over there. You know, they had a tree called the peach tree or the olive tree. Those don't fall apart. Those switches don't fall apart. And mama said, let all that stuff be until every leaf fall off that stem. And she said, go and give me a good branch. Because I had acted a fool. I was disobedient. And mama said, and every time I said, mama, don't talk. Mama, don't talk. Because the more she talked, the more she whipped my behind. You know, I told you don't. And I told you this. And what you, God, listen to me. You don't want to hear me. And every time she, and I said, mama, don't talk. Because if she gets tired and don't talk, she'll end whipping me. But the more she talked, the more I get sores on my behind, because she loved me. And I thank God, I knock on wood, for all the whipping that she's given me, because it kept me from joining gangs when I had opportunity to join gangs that was doing a lot of promiscuous stuff, even killing people. I said, no, I can't do that. Because my mama, she would turn over in her grave if she know the name of the gang and I'm out there killing people, robbing people. I couldn't do it. He said, don't do that. He said, you have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. See, we trust in our own selves and on other people. Other people that look like they're doing great, we trust in them. We put our trust in them instead of putting our trust in the Lord. Because you say, well, if I just go down there with Keith or John, I can do better. I can do better. But then when you really get to the place of repentance, when you're behind the jail bar, when you're behind the jail for 10 or 15 years, you say, why did I do that? Why did the Lord let me do that? Because God was speaking to you all that time and telling you, you don't have to do that to live. He said, I'm your life. I'm the life source that you need to connect to. But we're trying to connect to the life source of the world because the world, that the neighbor got so much stuff and I can do. You don't know how the neighbor getting all this stuff. One day you see the ATF busting down their door and you want to, why are all these police officers busting down the door? You talk with the neighbor who's going on the dress suit, that nice suit, nice dress, and all stuff every morning, every day. You don't know what they're going to do. They got big house. and all these big dogs and all this stuff, alarm systems and all that stuff. You wonder why they seem like you're prospering. You seem like you're fighting to keep food on the table. But your food is good. It's coming in legal. That's why I tell my wife, I said, look, baby, I don't jealous of nobody. I don't care where they live. They can have all this stuff. That stuff don't move me. They can have 10, 15, 20, 40, 50, 60 acres. My son was calling me today. Yesterday he called Tom, one, he went down to his sister-in-law. And the sister-in-law lives somewhere down south, and they got 60 acres of land. And they build this pool. They build this pool that the pool has, is a saltwater pool, you know, cost expensive, very expensive pool. I said, well, that's great. That stuff don't entice me. You can have 10 saltwater pools and still go to hell. You can have 10 Rolls Royces and still go to hell. 14 jets and still go to hell. All the money in Fort Knox and still go to hell. But I really have to know in my heart that I have Jesus living on the inside. Not that I'm perfect, but I know that Jesus is living on the inside of my heart. I feel comfortable. When I lay down on the bed, I don't worry about dying. I said, Lord, if I die tonight, I know I'm going to be with you. But I ask that you keep me a little longer that I might reach some more souls. Keep me a little bit longer and give me a little bit more understanding of your word that I might speak it with power and authority that somebody, everybody that hear me not going to receive me, but the ones that you want to receive your word would hear what I'm saying, Lord. That's why I ask him. And they will be drawn to you by your spirit. Listen what he's saying. He said, therefore shall a small tumult arise among the people. And all their fortresses shall be spoiled. And Shalman spoiled that Abel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you, because you are great wickedness. Because of your great wickedness, excuse me, and in mourning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. In the mourning shall the king of Israel be utterly cut off. God is not playing. You're watching all of these highfalutin ministries that are going, and they're walking around pushing their chest up like they're alive, preaching nothing, preaching half-truth, watered down. And the people are just like here in the book of Ezekiel, in the book of Hosea. They're worshiping their bishops and their apostles and their pastors. Not King Jesus, not Yeshua, not Yahweh, not El Shaddai, not Jehovah Tiskanu, not Jehovah Shammah, not Jehovah Elion. They're worshiping their bishops and their apostles. They took their eyes off of the cross. Hallelujah. Because why? The cross brings conviction. It tells you that you are going the wrong way. You got to get the right way. Get on the right path. The cross exposes everything that's not of it. They don't want to hear about the cross. They don't want to hear about the blood. So they tell you, oh, when my grandma was in church, my grandma used to say, and they go on with all this stuff. But what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? We got to get to this place. When you go to Ezekiel chapter 15, Ezekiel chapter 15, let's see. Glory to God. See, this book here got so much in. When you get in this book, it just takes you to another place. We'll stop there today. We'll go to Ezekiel chapter 15 next time we come back. The Lord say the same. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. We bless you and praise you, O God, because we recognize there's no one like you in heaven or on earth, God. You are the great supreme God. You are the ultimate Father. You're the Father that loved your children so much that you were willing, O God, to come down in the form of a man and a son, and go to the cross and lay down your life that you might pick it back up. But Lord, you allow your blood to flow and water to flow to wash our sins far away from us, Lord. We thank you this morning, God, for saving souls, for delivering lives and healing those that are sick mentally, physically, and spiritually, Lord. Lord, we pray today that you heal the sick and that you raise the dead. Father, Lord Jesus, we ask today that you heal cancer, that you heal lupus, that you heal gout, you heal asthma. Oh, God, we pray today that you heal bone cancer, breast cancer, lung cancer, colon cancer, Lord. Oh, God, prostate cancer, Lord, liver cancer. Oh, God, eye cancer. Oh, God, brain cancer, Lord. We pray today that you heal today, Lord. What is impossible to man is possible for God. God, we pray today, Lord, that you touch those that are lost in sin, even as you touch me, Lord God, and brought me out of that pit of hell. Wash me in your blood and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. We ask today that you save that sin-sick soul today. Lord, as people call upon you today for salvation, Lord, we ask, oh God, as they look to the cross, for the blood that never lost its first estate, Lord God, that you begin, oh God, to wash them in your blood, God. Lord, we pray today that, oh God, that you open blind eyes, that you unstop deaf ears, that you cause the dumb to speak and the crippled to walk. Lord, we are praying today in the name of Jesus for the President of the United States of America. Lord, he is going through Alzheimer's. We pray, God, that you, oh God, heal him, oh God. And Lord, heal the Vice President. God, touch the cabinet, all his cabinet members. Lord, we pray for the senators, and we pray, oh God, for, oh God, the Supreme Court Justice Department, for Congress. Lord, we pray today, Lord, for the police department, for the nurses, and for the doctors. We are praying for the teachers right now, Lord, and the children. Lord, we ask that to remove that satanic agenda that they have in our schools right now, God, that you call, you shut the door to it, Lord God, that you called it to remove the mayors and the governors that are allowing these things to happen in these states, oh God. We ask you to remove them, put new mayors, new governors, Lord, new senators, Lord, new congressmen. Lord God, move, oh God, change, Lord God. We're praying for change in our nation, Lord God, change in our homes, oh God, the things that goes on in our homes that should not go on in our homes, Lord. We ask you to help us to move those things out of our family members, oh God. We ask you, Father God, to intervene in everything that concerns us, for you said in your word that you will perfect that which concerneth us, oh God. Lord, we want to experience the peace that only comes from you, Lord God. You said you would keep us in perfect peace as our minds are stayed on you, God. We ask today, Lord God, Lord God, that you begin to, oh God, use your heavenly detergent, oh God, to wash us, to cleanse us, oh God. Oh God, use your two-edged sword to cut away the things from us that is, oh God, that's hindering us from getting closer. Lord, we're praying today in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you do this for us, Lord God. And we continue to praise you, God. We continue to glorify you. Thank you for healing the apostle and the bishop, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for touching Prophetess Apostle Millie's sister, Lord God. Oh God, we just pray today, Lord God, because we know that you are God that answer prayer. You said if we call, you would answer. You will show us great and mighty things that we have no knowledge of. So, Father, we call in today, Lord, because our nation, oh God, is in a downhill spiral. And if you don't pull it back, Lord, it'll go all the way down. Lord, we ask today for you to have mercy upon us, Lord. Have mercy from the top to the bottom, Lord God, from the bottom to the top, Lord God. We ask you from the left to the right, from the front to the back, Lord, have mercy today, Lord. And, Father, we know that we would survive. We would make it, Lord. Make it in. Oh, Father, there's somebody today that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We want to give you opportunity to receive. We never like to open a line. Mother Grant is on the line also. We want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. And the Bible says that if you confess your sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You don't have to tell your pastor. If you choose to, you could. But your pastor don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. But the Lord Jesus is the one who does the saving. He does the saving. The Bible says he comes to save, to seek and to save that which is lost. All you need to do wherever you are, you may be in your bathroom, you may be at work, behind your little cubicle, you may be in your car. Wherever you are, just ask the Lord to forgive your sins, according to Acts 2 and 38. Just ask the Lord to forgive your sins. And the Bible says that he will forgive your sins. He says, if you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, the first thing you have to do is repent. This means you got to start turning away, walking away from the lifestyle that you've been living. You know, I've been called back about 3 times. Am I saying this? Because you must understand, I wasn't always a preacher. Didn't want to be a preacher. I grew up in church because my mama wanted me to go to church because all of my nephews and kinfolk was going to church. They had money. We didn't have nothing. We were very poor. And but my mama used to wash my one white shirt and the little pants, little kinky pants, and the one pair of shoes, she kept them clean. And she would make sure I had clean socks and so on, a little clip-on tie, because none of us knew how to tie a tie. I learned to tie a tie when I came to America. None of us knew how to tie a tie. And she had a little clip-on tie. She used to clip on and make my, it looks good. It stayed real nice. The knot stayed firm because it was already fashioned in the knot. And she clipped that tie on so I could go to Sunday school and Bible study and all that stuff. And she made sure I go to church. But I was going to church for my mom. I wasn't going to church for myself. Like I said, I didn't have a God mind. You know, my mind was worldly. But I thank God that my mama sent me. She made sure that I went to the church building. She made sure that I went in there and that I heard the word. You can't go in the house and don't hear the word. Even now, those words are coming back to me. You know, which kept me away from doing some things that I probably would have done. And I was the only one in my family. My brothers didn't go to church, not my sister. She went into the church after she got older, but I grew up in church. But the church was not in me. I was doing my own thing, going for my mama. And now today she is dead and gone. My father's dead and gone. And I thank my mother every day because that little thing that she put in me now showing up in a great way. And I know as my mama, she's with the Lord, that she is pleased with how my life turned out as I served the Lord. You may be out there today, you're saying, well, I'm just like you, man. I didn't ever grow up in church, but I realize that my life is going in the wrong direction, and I need a Savior. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. But if you've got to that place, all you have to do is call on Him right where you are. He said, anyone that comes to Him, He would in no wise send them away. Just call on Him right where you are and say, Lord Jesus, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, I believe that you were crucified on the cross. I believe that you died there and that you were buried in a borrowed tomb. I believe that you were crucified just for me. If I was the only one on the earth, you would have leave your home in glory and come into time just to save my soul. And Jesus, today, I want to do this openly before God and before man. I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system. I no longer want to go after the things of this world. Jesus, I confess my sin before you, and they are great. They are more than I can number. But I know that your blood that was shed at Calvary is more than enough to wash my sins away and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life, my Savior, and my soon coming King. I receive you now. And I thank you for dying and saving my soul. If you just say that on common prayer and you believe in your heart, you have just received the gift of salvation. But the Bible also said that you need to be baptized. You need to be baptized because it's part of your salvation. A lot of people will say, well, why do I have to be baptized? The thief on the cross didn't get baptized. Well, that's a different dispensation, a different time altogether. Remember what Peter says. Remember what Peter said in Acts chapter 2, okay? He said that you must repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I mean, just right there is enough for me to want to be baptized because he told me that he's going to give me a gift. He's going to give you a gift the moment that you repent and be baptized. He's not going to let you be on your own. He's going to give you the Holy Ghost to lead and guide you, to bring all things to your remembrance, everything that Jesus said in this book. As you study it and you maintain it, it's going to come up in your spirit. The Holy Spirit going to bring it up. And the Bible says that in Mark chapter 16, the very last book of Mark, and this is why you want to be baptized. Because Jesus says so, not because the prophet says so or the bishop says so. Jesus said, you must be baptized. He said, he said unto them, to the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And see, all you're doing is getting gifts. You're getting gifts. You can't lose. And we say you can't lose with this God you choose, not Satan. Satan is the god of this world, and you know that if you got him in your life, if you look back at your life, you say Satan was ruling, he was leading, he was controlling. Hey, hallelujah. And we were doing all the things that was leading us to death, eternal death. This is called the second death in Revelation chapter 20. It's the second death. Because a lot of people say, when I die, I die. Well, that's not true. That's just part true. And so when I die, I just live like that. That's just part true. The Bible talks about a second death. It's going to be worse than the first death. Hallelujah. So you want to be on the right team that you don't face the second death. Do you hear what I'm saying? You want to be on the right team. The right team is Jesus' team. That's the team that you want to be on. You want to be the team that, glory to God, that here in chapter 20, he says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell deliver up the dead. Death, listen to him, and hell, which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Do you hear that? Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So you want your name, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and listen, and you begin to obey. See, because you say you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, it takes more than that. People tell you this half the story. The rest of the story is that we have to walk in obedience to be with him eternally. You can't say I received Jesus, but I'm going to go back in the world and keep doing what I've been doing. My husband messed up, so I'm going to go get a man. My wife messed up, so I'm going to go get me a girlfriend on the side. I'm going to do something. No. You got to understand now that your life is not yours. The moment you receive Jesus, Jesus is the owner of your life. He's the owner of your soul. I'm the owner of our souls. Jesus Christ, Yeshua, is the owner of our souls. So now we have to live. We have to live and breathe what he said. Do what he said to do. Be in obedience. You see what he did to Israel in the book of Hosea and in 2 Kings. He put them out of his presence. Why? Because of disobedience. Because of idol worship. You understand? So we want to live this life. So you go find your pastor, preacher. Start studying the word of God, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and book of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding of why we preach this kind of preaching that we preach. I don't preach like nobody. I don't teach like nobody. I don't want to. I listen to the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I just said, Lord, what do you want me to say tomorrow? What do you want me to say today? And I just lay there on the bed. And he'll just drop it into me. And I just open the Bible and say, well, that's what I want you to teach about. And I start writing down the scriptures and researching the scriptures. You know, I have a lot of sermons that I came up with in my folders. But this is what I like to do. I like to teach straight from the book and let the Holy Spirit speak. Now, you want to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher. You're studying the word of God. You're giving your life to God. Now you want to be baptized. Since preacher, look, I received the gift of salvation. I'm studying my word, and I want to be baptized. And you can spend, instead of going through a whole lot of conflict with some of the pastors that still baptize and have not had the revelation of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, just say, look, just look around, visit different churches, different places, so you can find a pastor that's truly teaching and preaching about Jesus, who baptized in Jesus' name. and tell the pastor you want to be baptized. Because some of the pastors are going to tell you, well, we baptize the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we want to be baptized according to Acts 2 and 38. We want to be baptized in Jesus' name. So you don't have a conflict, because I say, if the pastor says he don't baptize in Jesus' name, just say, well, look, I'll get back in touch with you when I get my family and my friends and my co-workers and even my enemies to get to come to be part of this very great, the greatest time of my life. This is when you're facing your rebirth, your new birth, Romans chapter 6 and 1. You are new. And according to Corinthians 5 and 17, you're new. So you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And then after you get baptized, you know, you have your family, your friends and co-workers, and all them enemies, everybody there watching, and they're now going to have a different outlook looking at you. Say, well, I didn't really believe that she was going to go, he was going to go all the way. I hear him say he received Jesus, or she received Jesus as Lord, but now he is being baptized in Jesus' name. So he must really mean it. But then you come out that water as a new creation in Christ Jesus. You got to live this thing out. You hear what I'm saying? I'm spending this time on this thing to let you know you really, truly have to live it out. You can't come out that water and deviate from the path. From the path. You have to stay on the path. You got to find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel. You don't want a church that all got a lot of hooping and hollering. You want one that's teaching you, giving you doctrine. Doctrine calls you to live. It gives you a reason to live, tell you how to live. That's what doctrine is. And Paul tells you straight, if somebody come with a different doctrine, you got to leave them. You got to cut yourself loose from them. And once they're preaching and teaching some doctrine, get yourself involved. That don't mean you got to go up there and say, Pastor, I'm preaching this morning. No, it took me a long time before I was able to go behind the podium and take up the Bible A lot of times I was go places and I share my testimony, but when it was time, God said it was time. But until it was time, I did whatever the pastor says do, whatever my leader says to clean the bathroom, I clean the bathroom. Vacuum the sanctuary, I vacuum the sanctuary. So clean the clean down the podium, I take the wax or the spray or whatever they use, and I clean down the podium. I did all that, clean the altar. Bathroom, I pick up stuff outside, cigarette butts, beer cans, beer bottles, all Coca-Cola bottles, Pepsi bottles, whatever bottles, cans was around the church building, I clean it because I want the ground to be done. Paper that was all around, trash around the building, all that's ministry. People think that there's only ministry when they get up on the podium. No, when you clean up, you have cleaned the church grounds and you clean up the bathroom, all that's ministry. Vacuum, say, I look for something. You know what I always want to do? I wanted to be an usher. That was the greatest thing that I wanted. I said, man, an usher, I like an usher meets everybody. I said, Lord, I want to be an usher. And when I got the pastor, I said, Brother Dave, can you be usher this morning? I said, oh, yeah, sure. He said, man, you really excited about that? I said, yeah. Be the one at God's office, at God's the door, church building, gatekeep, man, best job. So you all that receive the gift of salvation, man, you find the church and preach and teaching and get yourself involved. Give God praise every day, every chance you get, praise him for taking care of you, for keeping you, and your life will never be the same. Always remember that you might go through. That don't mean that your life is going to be okie-dokie, like we say. You know, you're going to have trials and tribulation. All of us that are on this line today that are preachers and teachers, I can tell you without a shadow of doubt, I only met a couple of these that's on the line, and I met Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart and Apostle Washington, the bishop. I met them in person, and Evangelist Baxter Brown, I met her in person. Never met Pastor Brown, but I met a Minister Ondera, Evangelist Darlene Campbell. I was over in Mississippi and deliver anointing over there in their church. The Holy Spirit, you know, got some of the people on the line I haven't met in person, but in the spirit, I sense their spirit. I know that they are saved, born again, Holy Ghost filled. But we thank God for those that receive salvation. The line, Mother Grant, you can come on in and read now. I shared a lot today. But you can come on in and read. If you have your time to read, you can come on in.
Praise the Lord.
Come on.
Yes. Yes. Can you hear me?
Good morning. I hear you now.
Good afternoon. God bless you. Blessing of the word that you bring forth. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank him. Giving him all the thanks for waking me up this morning. I'm here running around. I thank God I could get on to do my reading today. Stomach not feeling too great. I don't know what's going on, but thank God for life. My readings say, pray for a life of abiding in Christ. Dear Father, what a privilege it is to abide in Christ, to dwell in him, sharing his life as a branch. Share the life of a vine. Thank you. What he is, my life. Work in my heart to keep me abiding in Christ and fill with his spirit day by day and moment by moment by sample faith. Share me any hindrance. Show me any hindrance to this in my life. And enable me to flee them aside. May his word live in me richly. May I keep his commandment and abide in his love. May I so fully identify with him as the wine that people around will see in me, his nature and his life. Lord, may this be especially true in my relationship and work my marriage and family life. I pray those same things for the believers in my church and for those believers I know, especially, you got blank and blank. May the truth above abiding in Christ dawn in each of us in a flesh way. You abide in me and my word abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. John 15:7. In our living and our praying, may we still depend on him just as he fully depend on us. Scripture reference, John 15:4-5, Colossians 3:4, Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 2:20, Hebrews 12:1, John 12:7, Colossians 3:16, John 15:10, John 14:10. Abiding in Christ, our exception with God, and our accord assess to him and through Christ as we constantly abide in him. We are free from the power of our old nature. In this divine freedom from self-will, we are free to ask God for what we want, being influenced now by our new nature. And God will do it. Let us treasure this place of freedom through abiding in Christ and believing that our requests right now are heard and will be answered. Andrew Murray, we have a night and day difference in our lives. When we choose against struggling to be strong and peaceful and loving, and instantly count on the strength and the peace and the love of Christ life within us. And how good it is to know that abiding in Christ is not an unusual adding extra in the Christian life, intense for a few special Christians. It's part of God's plan for each of his children. For more about this, see the section Abiding in Christ. May God end his blessing to his word. Amen.
Thank you so much, Mother Graham, for that awesome reading. Just fit right into what we're saying. But we thank God for you always when you get a chance. You know, of your busy schedule, you're always coming in, do a little reading for us. And I was on the line with you and Deacon Fraser.
Deacon Fraser.
No, he didn't hear me, though. He was talking with the spirit. He was talking in spirit because I didn't say nothing. I was studying, and I said, well, you know, well, the spirit was speaking to me. I said, well, I'm not going to break my silence. I said, at least I'm here and I can hear him. He prayed for my wife about 10 times. You know, one thing with Deacon, though, he praying for you, you got prayer. Deacon pray. He was beating up them demons. Them demons didn't have no chance with me that day. I thank God for him. Yeah, but I was on with you guys. It was a good time.
Okay.
It was a good time, Sergeant. God bless you. The line is open. Thank you so much, Mother Grant. The line is open for anyone that wants to respond. The line's open.
Hey, God bless your apostle and mother. Thank God for the reading of the words you read. Thank God for the words you read and the word and the ministry that God has placed in you. I really enjoyed every bit of it. Man, it's a blessing. So you were just telling so much of the truth. The time to what you were saying earlier, you know, people finding the right ministry. I always tell people just pray and seek God and he'll give you pastors after his heart. That way you would get the ministry that's after God's heart, a man of God, a woman of God, whoever he called to help you get in that place that you desire to be in. And, yeah, I really enjoyed that. And then came in kind of like 30 minutes, a little bit later than what I usually come in. Probably had to call me and say, son, you on? I said, oh, man. I said, man, I forget. I'm laying down because I had was resting. And I said, man, let me hurry up and get on now because I don't want to miss the word. I enjoy it every time I get on here to see men and women of God bringing forth the word of God to help people get in the right place with God. And I really enjoy it. And I just listened to some of what you were saying, if I'm correct, you know, about that's the way leadership is. It's scary how leaders, because God haven't did anything that yet, and the judgment haven't fallen on them, they just feel they can do anything in his house. I often tell leaders all the time that, you know, you can't treat God's house like you treat your house. You can't, if it's God's house, let it be his house. Don't let people come in and change the ordinance of God. I don't care if it's your wife, your children, your family, people, you can't do that because you get in trouble. Imagine Moses would have did that. Well, when Moses let the people get him mad, and he throw down the commandments, and he got in trouble with God because of the people, and they unbelief. And so, you know, God not mocked. God gonna judge these leaders for allowing this church to get out of order and leading people the wrong way, making people think that they can live any kind of way, you can do anything you want to do. And I often say, and I heard other men of God say, that they're going to slide them, men of God say, they're going to slide into heaven on a banana peel. People just think they going on a field trip, and they don't know this is eternal life. Once you leave here, you take your last breath, you're not going to, that's it. You can't bounce back. And so, you know, people don't know the seriousness of it. And then oftentimes people don't want to talk about death and talk about, you know, what I'm going to do, what's going to happen after I leave here? Am I going to have eternal life? Am I going to go to heaven or hell? People don't want to talk about that because it's a type of fear because they love the things of this world. When the Bible says every heaven and earth is going to pass away. Heaven and earth, one day all this stuff is going to be gone. It's going to be the thing of a past, and we should be worried about eternal things, setting our affection on things above. And so, you know, people really just don't know, you know, they really don't know. You let people tell it, everybody say it now, even the celebrities. Some of them worship Satan. They say they saved. You see, I said, man, how in the world, when you got overseas salvation? When did you repent? When did you receive the Holy Spirit? Now you're a Christian? And so people think they can do that because man has made a hot mess and got people thinking that they control God, they control heaven and hell. And I tell people all the time, I don't have the right, neither one of us, I don't care what our title is, to put people in the Lamb book of life. Only thing our job is that Jesus said, and he said, if I be lifted up, I draw men unto me. We lead them to salvation, and then we help them receive the Holy Spirit, which Christ promised, man, his disciples when he left. He said, I'm going to send you a comforter. And then so when he sent the comforter, then that's the Holy Spirit. Then we get that, and then it's up to God and his son to put our name in the Lamb book of life. Only thing our job is to lead them to the truth, and it's up to Christ. I believe when you receive the Holy Spirit, that's a sign that your name has been written in the Lamb book of life. If you read Romans 8 and 9, it says, if you don't have his spirit, you none of his. And so people don't know that, and you have to read your word. If you have time, like I often say when I come on here, if you got time, if you can't read the Bible, we got a technology now where you can go on there and download the Bible app, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible app, and you want the King James Version. Forget them new versions, because a lot of these new versions, they're trying to desensitize the Word of God and break it down and water it down, and they're taking out dust and doubt, and it's calling the Bible to have no effect because you got a man putting their true sin in it. And God never told us to do that. And so, you know, you want the truth, and it's just sad we in the time. You even got the cult and people that you got the KKK saying they Christians. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. Even the homosexuality, they done created their own Bible called the Queen James Version. You know, and see, people don't realize you just can't come up in God's house. And you can tell as a farmer say that's the same thing Lucifer did. He got beside himself, and God had to kick him out. And that's what man doing, the same thing. They done ate the tree of the good and evil, and they think they're going to still go to heaven any kind of way, and God ain't going to do nothing. And I tell people all the time, if everybody going to heaven, why would God crucify his son? Why would he send his only begotten son to shed his blood? This man got killed, I mean beat. The movie Hollywood ain't got nothing on the recognition. They couldn't even describe the how he was beat. He got beat so bad that his face was messed up. And so, you know, why would God do all that, sacrifice his son, and then come back and say, okay, y'all go ahead and do what you want to do since we covered by grace. But then you got to go back and read the word. Romans 8 and 6, I mean 6 and 1 say, 6 and 1 say, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God is not finna change his word to fit people. And that's what's wrong with the world. And first thing, some people will say, well, you judge. You already judge. Because if you don't believe in the only begotten son, after you already said in John 3 and 16, then if you go down to John 3:17, if you don't believe in the one he sent, you already condemned. To be condemned is already lost. Whether I tell you or not. And I tell people all the time, when I get a chance to witness, when God lead me to witness, I always tell people, don't think I'm judging because you already judge. And I'm judged as a man of God because I'm preaching to you the same word I have to give an account to. When I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. I need salvation. I need the Holy Spirit. I'm nothing without God. I'm no better than you. Just because I quote the word, I still have to live what I preach. After I get through preaching to you, when I get to my home, in my secret place, I still got to live the same way. And so people don't believe that if you being judged. You know, you're going to get judged for everything you do. Everybody got to give an account. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. God's word never changed. And it never changed. God's word is already forever settled in the heaven. Even Satan know that, and he know that because look what he did in Matthew the 4th chapter, how he came to the Son and he tried to do the same thing he did to Adam. He used the word of God, which he already know, and then he put it with a lie. So he know the truth. So at the end of the day, God's word is not gonna change for us. If you really want salvation, get to know God for real, like the man apostle said today, we really have to get to know God for ourselves. We can't listen to everybody. The Bible says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Well, fear means fear God because you can take your last breath today. Fear to have, fear to know, oh, man, I might not make it today. Tomorrow ain't promised to us, so that's why I say fear and trembling. Be afraid. Because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how you're going to leave here. The Bible says, appointed unto man to die, not for that judgment. So So it's, you got to think about those things. You got to take that thing serious. It's nothing to play with. Game, you know, and seeing the world take it for a game because they don't made it. We got bad leadership. And some of these people, God didn't hide. God said, the Bible said, men are called for your children. God chose certain people to carry out challenge. Some of these people just got in for the money. They only care about money, their own game. If you go into ministry and the only thing they talking about, work out your own, they not telling you to work out your soul salvation and telling you that your body is a living, your body is the temple of God and not telling you that you belong to God and you don't belong to yourself, then you need to run. You don't have to be in a ministry. You got to make a choice for yourself. Yeah, what a pastor got, what title they got, what we got. You better work out your own soul salvation. You can't follow everybody just because they got a title on their church. You got to watch where you take yourself at. You got to guard yourself because people are evil. They don't care about your soul, some of these leaders that's out here. They hold a agenda, and then you got preachers telling, then you get on Facebook, you got preachers lying to people telling everybody going to heaven, and it ain't a such thing as sin. And it just don't make sense. It just don't make sense. And they contradict themselves because what happened to all, how are you going to explain that to Elijah and all the other men of God and Peter and all them that came before us? How you going to explain about Paul and what he did, Timothy and all them? How you going to explain that? How you going to explain Daniel and them when they had to live right? They couldn't even eat certain things. So how you going to explain that and then come back because we in a new world or whatever we think we in because we got new technology because men think they're so smart they don't become dumb, you know, and so they think they got more sense than God. And it's just sad that the devil done fooled man just like he fooled Adam and Eve and got them thinking that, oh, you ain't going to surely die. God lied to you. He's using the same trickery that he used with Adam and Eve. And so it takes the power of God and the spirit of God to open us up and help us find a way. But I just thank God for the word. And if you're going to find truth, seek God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. And then he said, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And if you say you're a child of God, you got to turn from your wicked ways. Just because you go to church every Sunday, that don't make you saved. Just because you sang in the choir, or just because I preach, that don't make me a child of God. I got to repent. I got to be born again. Because even Jesus said, when Nicodemus came into him until the night, he said, hey, Nicodemus said, well, he called him a rabbi. He called him a rabbi. He called him master. And he said, man, how I'm going to be born again? But Jesus said, you got to be born again. And if he told him that, how it's going to change about ourselves. So, you know, I just thank God for the word. I just want to put that out there and, you know, encourage the apostle and every man and woman of God. Y'all keep striving and, you know, and be praying for each other. And we tie in together and build a wall together and pray that God can anoint us to do his will. It's not about our will. Don't listen to this new movement. People got their own will. I mastermind your own mind. Do what you want to do. When you receive Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you are no longer yours. You belong to God. You got to find out what's his will for your life, not your will. Your will is no longer count. Now, God care about what we get. He said, if we abide in him, anything we ask, we shall be given. And he know our heart desires. But if it's not in his will, it's not going to get done. Because you got to find out what his will is. And if you humble yourself, you'll understand why God can see God get us in his will because there's a reason. He might want to use you to bring your family out, your neighbor out. It might be somebody that God is trying to reach, and you got to get out your will and find out what his will is so somebody can be saved. Because people are dying every day going to hell. I mean, in the church. That's the sad part about it. Young people die in the church and they think they can go to the club on Saturday and drink and get high all night and masturbate, look at porno, do anything you want to do, and still think they're going to heaven. And it's just sad that you got the leaders not telling them that because they believe whatever their leaders say. I talk to people, I'm going to hurry up, out here, and you try to win the people. Well, my pastor said, I said, your pastor, tell your pastor he a liar. Because if he ain't doing what that God would tell him, I said, he come talk to me, and I ain't going to argue about the word, but I'm going to put him where he wrong at. Because you don't tell people they can live in the kind of way. That ain't Bible. Your pastor a liar. If he going to tell you can live in the kind of way, still drink and live in the kind of way, and still going to heaven. Your pastor is a liar, and the truth ain't in him. And then he of the devil. He ain't of God. Because if a real man or woman of God going to tell you the truth, whether it hurt them or not, whether you come and talk to them again, if you don't never speak to them again, they going to give you the truth because they love God enough to know that your soul is more important than your feelings. So God bless you. I love y'all. Y'all have a blessed day. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jones, for putting in there, my Lord, my Lord. You give me a sermon. It was good. I'll tell you, I'm feasting on that, brother. That was good, good, good. I tell you, I enjoyed it. You could have keep on keeping on because I love the word. The more the word you give me, the better you make me. Hallelujah. Glory to God because I'm growing. I'm still growing. Even at almost 73 years old, I'm still growing. Oh, God. So feed me. Feed me. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. The Lord bless you and keep you, sir. Keep you safe on the highway for your family and for the kingdom. Hallelujah. The line is open. The line is open for anyone that wants to respond. If you feel led to respond, you can come on in.
Amen. God bless you, Apostle, and to your wife and the ministry and Apostle Stewart. Amen. All the men and women of God, my son, Minister Deron Jones, blessings on you and the mother that always who read the word in a precious way. We thank God for her and her press. We pray that God bless her throughout her body. Amen. She says she wasn't feeling too well, but she's still in the press. And I tell you, we just got to keep pressing away. We don't get no rest. I mean, things are so intense.
That's right.
I tell my son all the time, he said, Mom, you need to sit down. You need to rest. I say, son, I get rest when I get it. And there are times where, you know, I haven't slept but 4 hours in 24 hours. And God, by the time I go to sleep, it's though I've slept 8 hours. God knew how to complete that cycle for me without going to 8 hours of sleep. When you get a certain age, I guess our body does not wind down that way because we're in constant war. Whether you sleep or wake, it's something in all realms that's trying to distract us or wear us out in some kind of way. But we certainly salute you again, man of God. I'm telling you, that word was so good today. It was so good today. And listen, I just want to say I apologize for having not been able to come on, but that was something I couldn't avoid. A lady that I've been helping for years, her husband passed away suddenly, and I was asked to come. And so there were things that I needed to do that she thought that only I could do. And so I went right on in. And to grab hold of the blessings, too, she blessed me. And in fact, these are people they are not Christians because they was Masonic people, but they live on my ancestors' property up here since I moved to Tennessee. And it just marveled me and put me in a maze at meeting people who were on my ancestral property that I never met. That name, Kirksey, was ringing all out through here, and it's just an honor and a privilege to see those who are sleeping in the Lord and to walk through that place, a big house like those Victorian style that we see in the slave days. You know how the tall houses with the tall pillars. But anyway, that's not what I wanted to say, but I wanted to say I'm so sorry for those who were expecting us to come on. And then when my son said there was nobody came in to fill in the gap in any way, and it was just news, I said, oh, my God, I felt bad all day. And I said, well, I'll make up for it whenever Apostle meet me again, perhaps on a Friday or on a Thursday or something of that nature. But let me tell you something. I know people probably get tired of hearing, especially those who are in leadership capacity and those who have been privileged and given to govern over people, places, and things in the spiritual realm as well as the political realm. And if you look at the chaos in the world, the unholy mess, the untimely deaths, the disasters, the catastrophes, the inducing of the birth pains around the world, even with this CERN machine, what's happening in the country of India, and on which this telecast and Apostle calendar is very close to the Indian community and the waters breaking and the tectonic plates shift and the drought, the ground, the land dropping. And it's just, when I look at the two preachers' videos, and I watch it about every 2 days, and it depends on what I have to do or whatever, and then I could sit down a minute and get a global look at others who are studying the times and watching it very close, so we'll know how close things are getting to us where we are planted. And so you see all of these world, this chaos, and it's due to leadership, bad judgment. And I know someone that went, here they go, on the leaders again. And it is not him. It's God trying to give leaders a chance to repent and to correct this mess and apologize for dethroning him and taking the throne for themselves and seeking glory and praise from the people themselves, you know, and rebuke keeps coming. And the leaders are looking at the people. It's the people. It's not me. It's the people. Well, he already said what's on the head of leadership. And he patterning us down as a pouring anointed on the top of the head means leadership, those in leadership abilities, the thinkers, the visionaries. And it flows down to the face, those who are structured in the face realm, like the prophets being the eyes, and then you go on the mouthpieces, and then, you know, you just go on down to the ears. It goes all, the anointing go all down past your ears. It's just, if somebody pour a bottle of oil on you from up high, they got to hold it up high. The bottle is poured from up high above your head, and it goes all the way down to your garments, to your feet. And what leaders do is showing that it's passed on. It will affect the generation. And he was talking about today on how spiritually, how the leaders, the leadership are holding these people that's holding these leaders' position. They're causing the course of things to fall. Sometimes can speed up prophecy. And it's causing God having the end thing because of bad decisions of the leader. He said he gave them power. Y'all, excuse me because I'm sitting out on this lady's porch trying to see a few things. Amen. And people are passing by trucks and then motorcycles out here in this country. But I was writing it down while he was preaching, and he was bringing it in on what's happening. Then Minister Jones said something. That was a type and a shadow of things to come. And Moses, and I never seen it this way before. I say that was the beginning of iniquity, the second phase of it, because we know iniquity was found in Lucifer. He was cast down. But when Moses broke the tablets of the commandments, it was styled as that though he didn't sin and start living ungodly and was down worshiping the idols and all the stuff down in the camp, praise God. But it was styled as what was to come, because after going back and breaking it, he had to write it himself, chip it out himself, redo it. God didn't do a second set of commandments. He had Moses had to go up there and hear God repeat him again, and then he was able to make the second set of the commandments. But in him breaking it, I saw it, and it was an additive or nugget for me to deepen the building of the message on the abounding of iniquity. And this is why we see everything is in chaos today, the abounding of iniquity, the twisting and the distortion, the breaking of God's commandments and word do continue. And it was from the leader's hand that he was angry with the people, and he broke it. But look at the leaders who God has given his kingdom into their care and given them a people to govern, and the pressures and of distortion. But on this wise, or our time frame, the leaders have been bribed. They've been bribed. Now, Moses, he just broke them because he's angry at the people walking away from God, and then how, you know, it proves what the old cliche says, that 1 week, W-E-E-K, without prayer, make one week, W-E-A-K. So it shows how when Moses was away, the one that they seen as an ambassador for God and speaking for God, it kind of controlled the situation. But when he was gone so long and being with the Lord, and how when you keep people, when they're not in the presence of God, a person who's really walking in anointing and in authority from God, and they go away too long, it shows how easy it is for those who are followers to fall prey to sin and to idols. They start looking for something else to worship or to follow. Praise God. But God said he was holding leaders responsible for the course of the world, because he set them in power over all the things in the church arena. He gave the church power, the preachers power in heaven, earth, and over spirit. He gave them the keys to the kingdom. He gave them power to bind and to loose. So if you see evil loose, you know why. Because you see much of the leaders now are taking counsel together, and I'm going to make it real short. They've taken counsel together with Lucifer. And so now we're getting evil. We'll have no peace. And then he looked at how he warned us in Revelation, the 22nd chapter. He told them, he gave us a warning like unto, he warned them of the dangers of you not preaching the whole counsel of God. He told them. Now, if you twist, if you bend or distort my word, he said, he put it in the end book. He said, I told him, and warn us of the dangers of not preaching the whole counsel of God. Now, in that compact verse, Revelation 22, when you don't preach the whole counsel of God, you rob the church and the people of the glory and the fullness of salvation. Then, I mean, we was healed. We was talking the other night, me and the woman of God that brought me to Christ, who's in my home for a month now. She's 83. And I say, woman of God, we are just like Hosea. And the scriptures say, you know, he dealt with the remnant that's left among us that saw the church in its first glory. When I first got saved 43 years ago, January would be 44 if I lived to see it. And, wasn't nobody sick. You didn't hear no people mention headaches. They didn't have arthritis. They didn't have all these conditions. They was healing in the church. Man, people was praising God. They was fasting, praying, and shut in. Unlike until today, when the millennium rings start coming in, when they start adding and taking away from this word, when you got a church that preach mutilated doctrines and gospel and preach their own traditions, and as Jesus says, by your traditions and your commandments, the commandments of men, that you have caused the word to be of none effect. We pray for healing, but we don't get them. The people still remain sick and still have to go get the toes cut off, still have to go get the knee replaced, still get the hip replaced, all that. But when we was operating, preaching the whole counsel of God and putting a difference between sin and unclean and holy and unholy, I mean, healing was flowing through the churches. Nobody was oppressed. You never seen so many people on antidepressants, and I mean, they on all oxycodone and hydrocodone and all this stuff that they got in, and insulin, injecting insulin, and all the things that we have, because we have come short of the glory. And part of the glory and the things that God has given us to talk about the benefits, why we don't have the fullness of healing, and we know there's another craft to the side of the infectious disease of walking in pestilence. Walking pestilence is two other rims of it. And how they get through is when we touch darkness, because there's a level of walking pestilence spirits that you can encounter by touching things that's dark in the darkness, maybe opening the wrong kind of book or opening and looking at the movie, and some things will come and reoccur from generational curses that were sealed off, and versus the government poisoning people and giving them disease and injecting them with vaccines that's not actually a healer, but actually putting the disease in you to start incubation, to advance their agenda, to depopulate, you know. and but we had it going on. But the Lord said, then look at the leaders. He warned them of bribery in Deuteronomy 16, in Deuteronomy the first chapter, in Ezekiel 44. And he warned them of bribery. Beware of the bribery of people buying you suits, buying you cars, buying you diamond rings, fabulous homes, airplanes, jets, helicopters, and all that, the bribery, and you fragrance, you never have to work for nothing. He said, you beware of that, because if you don't watch, it'll be easy for you to patacate those people who are taking care of you and pampering you. And he warned them, he's in Ezekiel 44 chapter. Now, we're talking about coming short of the glory of God. Why there's no, we don't see, we see very few signs, wonders, and miracles still going on, but instead people have to run to Egypt for diagnosis, for them to show them through AI or through angelic technology what's wrong with you, instead of the prophets looking through you and seeing the condition. Because one of the dangers is why we're in this country as is because of the sins of our fathers that shut the doors of the porch. They put out the lamps, and that's in the lamp at the feet. You don't have no sense of directions. Church don't have no sense of direction. They put out the lamps and stop the people who are anointed to see times. They cut off the Issachar virtue for it, that nobody understand the time. Very few now. There's some of us out here, because I'm one, and I'm sure there's other listening to me, that you're maintaining and retaining the anointing, and all of your suffering is perfecting your very gifts. But God said it was by our traditions and commandments, and we get up here in the church, our organizational creed, and the modern day or the millennium apostles' creed, and you see how far away they are from the word of God. And that's why Jesus is going to tell some of these very ones as titled themselves, and one who approved people God didn't approve, and those who set people in office after their own heart and say they're of God. And God said, why are you setting? You say, this is my house, and these my drums, this my organ, my keyboard. Why are you setting people in office after your heart now, not mine, that are uncircumcised in their heart and their flesh? They ain't changed. They ain't born again. Just because they got a gift and you that desperate that you're going to take something unclean and mix it. When I say the sinner should not sit in the congregation of the righteous, and then you know what's happening spiritually when you get in that realm, what's in them, some of that darkness in them is going to penetrate through the sound realm. It's going to affect people. And lastly, when I was looking at that word, and he told us in the last days, these are the dangers, and this is where we're at, because Isaiah prophesied it. And in the New LT version, he said, Isaiah 3 and 12, he said, in the last days, this is what's happening. Then even Solomon prophesied, he said, woe unto a nation, or woe unto a people when thy king is a child. The one who rule over you is a child. They still in love with the flesh. They haven't put away childish things. They still after the flesh. But Isaiah 3 and 10 coincide with it. He said in the NLT version, he said, childish leaders oppress my people, and women rule over them. If y'all can't tell me that we ain't there now with the shift, the demonic shift is pulling in mostly women now, in there, because the last alignment politically, all will be of the devil. Now, them that get out in time before the final transfiguration demonically, or the satanic transformation at all, that these people are going to become unrecognizable in leader, in the political realm and the spiritual realm, and they will not sound like God, neither will they be anything near God. He said the women rule over them, and he said, oh, my people, your leaders mislead you, and they send you down the wrong road. Now, Isaiah 3 and 12 again say in the King James Version, he say, as for my people, children are their oppressors. Look at how the burden has changed, the shift has changed, because when you study history biblically, every generation in the 6,000 years given to us all, given to man, our ancestors passed back 4,000 years back, the lineage, You see the change. Every generation ends with child sacrifices, child mutilations, and with just a repeat cycle according to Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and chapter 3. But he said, oh, my people, he said, the new children are your oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who lead you. Now, this is King James Version. Cause thee to err and to destroy the way of thy path. You're the reason why you don't have your miracle. Some of them that's sick and afflicted and oppressed, depressed, you got to run to the psychiatrist and psychologist, and that's the very essence of ministry, is the study of people. We have been anointed to bring these people to peace, to break the yoke of depression, suppression, and all this schizophrenic stuff off of people. He said, but instead, the one that leads you, they have robbed you of the glory that was supposed to have been revealed. It don't blame it on me. Don't say God has forgotten. It's out there. Who will break it? Who will get back to the place where you release it? But it's a certain thing that's required. Some blessings, some even some healings are conditional. You got to do some things before and after sometimes. And you know what oppressed means? Means to keep you in hardship. Now, he was talking about the youth, the children of this age. Look at them today. That's the burden of children, the burden they bring, the worries we have, running away, having sex too early. They're in the same sexual agendas. They're into pedophilia. They're into necrophilia. You got the youth now moving into robbing fresh graves, sleeping with dead people. They'd rather sleep with dead or kill somebody in the middle of or be choked during the middle of sexual intercourse. He say your children gonna bring you into hardship. Heavenly, they're gonna be the heaviest thing on your heart to get you out the will of God. The heaviest thing on your heart and mind, and cause distress to burden you spiritually, mentally, and financially. It's ending because we're dealing with the end of virginity. The age of innocence is ending, that Satan is going to make sure nobody's a virgin. No, there will be no holiness. There will be nothing virtuous, but everything will be fully defiled, corrupted and confused, mind gone, the conscious, God consciousness completely gone. And I'm telling you, he's working on it. Churches don't even have God consciousness. They worship in men, like Apostle said earlier. They worship and pray. You hear more preachers and apostles and bishop name called out more than Jesus' name in intercessors. And I have been to programs, singers, and all that, and I didn't hear Jesus. I've been there 4 hours singing, 4 hours of preaching, good time, dancing. Oh, we had a good time. And didn't hear Jesus' name in the song. Not one song and one sermon, even in the scripture, the Bible they chose to read, the translation they chose, and they're taking the name out because that's the name that the whole heaven, the family in heaven and earth is called by the name of Jesus. That's the name, like Apostle said earlier, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He didn't mean you're saying it in all three titles. The Father, the Son, and that one name, just like a woman marry a man, she take on that name, and the children is under the fire on that name, and the name Jesus is what the devil trying to push out, because he know that's the one he threatened by. That's the one he got to come subject
that's
to.
Right.
And we got to get back to saying the name of Jesus. Stop calling everybody else's name more than Jesus. Don't preach without it.
Hallelujah.
You ain't did nothing. You ain't said nothing.
That's right.
Unless you say
nothing.
Jesus. Amen. Make that
glory
choir say, but pull some songs and sing Jesus. Say Jesus. 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 Say Jesus. Call him a
Hallelujah.
Few times. Everybody get up and stand with me and say, gee, let's call Jesus 8 times for a new beginning so we can have a move of God. Let's acknowledge the name. And that's how you chase the demons out. That's how you push the darkness out so the power of God can come in and bless the people. But the preachers, no, don't call that name. And you know. By that going in the church, that you know this person, Satan is controlling that ministry, and there's no deliverance in a church where you don't hear the name of Jesus there. There's no deliverance. You will not get healed. You will get sicker, and your conditions
right.
will increase in a word that's preaching a mutilated gospel. You will get sicker. Your diseases will multiply. your psychological traumas, your traumas, stuff from your past will resurface because, look, you're moving through the gates of hell. You're moving through hell. But when you're moving in the power of God, all that stuff got to back up. And people will be free indeed.
Hallelujah.
And yes, the Lord is going to continue to rebuke leaders. And he giving all a chance to repent and get it right. And to re-examine themselves and to check their security, the alignment in their church. And say, well, we don't get people no more like we used to. People don't, why people getting so cold, they don't want to pray. Well, check your own life. And, you know, you're watching TV all day long, every day, and then you get up on Sunday and say, you heard from the Lord. Been listening to celebrities all week long. When did you get a word from God? When most of your week was spent in looking at TV and listening to music. But no quiet
Jesus.
With God. But you're preaching out of the noise. And then there's a chance that you will hear other voices in the mixture, and you'll say, thus the Lord. And then the people leave church, shout of the glory, healing, no altar call made, and you know Satan. And there's something evil in the midst of the church where people don't get free, and you're not birthing, you're not having babies. Every time people would come together, be intimate, if there's a constant intimacy there and you're in the courts of the Lord, courtship going on, you're going to have a baby. You fertile. You're supposed to have babies.
Hallelujah.
You're in the church daily. Daily, every service, somebody should be saved. Not leave the same way they came, and you go, somebody, oh, you know that child that was in church today? They killed themselves. They left church and went home and shot themselves. Guess whose blood is on their hands?
Jesus.
You see one sinner, God catch you and send one sinner in your service. Ye wise enough and sharp enough in your discernment to stop preaching to the righteous and deep things and turn your message to salvation. Pull out reconciliation. Pull that person to God. God say, they ain't had sense enough to stop preaching to the righteous, making the rest of the church feel good, and turn your attention and focus on that one sinner in the midst.
Yes, Lord.
Deeper in evil, deeper in oppression. Man, I went to the house of God, and I was at my rope saying, let me go here. The angels arrested them. You know they can't come except God draw them, so God draw them there. Testing your trust to prove what is in your heart, what is in your ministry, whether you're going to turn to that and get that one, lead the 99 just, turn your sermon from them to that one and bring them in. And God is angry. And
Hallelujah.
He told us we will not have revival until we comply with Joel chapter 1. Joel talk about the last day revival and the returning of our children from captivity, turning the runaways coming back home, the ones that's fainting for hunger in the top of every street. He said, first, I want all you old men, young, old women, all of the priests, all of those under the title of the priest or whether Talik man or minister of the altar, I want every one of you who lead to come to the altar, lay out all night, cry out to me. And then after that, when y'all leaders do it first, the leaders got to repent. That's why they say, hey, they don't get saved, because you ain't repented. You ain't turned back to God's word. You ain't turned back to the full gospel. You haven't turned back. But we demanded the people, and we get out there so spoiled and arrogant and heady and high-minded, but God said in Isaiah 24, I'm going to bring every high and lofty thing down. Every mountain will be abased, and the valley is going to be exalted. Those in the valley, if the valley is exalted, that means everybody living in the valley going to rise up. Ones you think won't rise, going to rise. And then he said, when you do that in chapter 1, chapter 2, the second phase of it, get the rest of the congregation. Now bring everybody else in, the leaders in back in alignment. Bring everybody else in. Let's spread it. And then after that, here come the children in chapter 3. Then the children going to come. Then the glory will return. They'll see the glory on their fathers. Their fathers will return back to the original glory. They'll get back to God. But this is powerful. And I accept my rebuke. I saw some things myself. I'm working on me, and every chance I get, as I stand before God and his counsel, I'm going to tell the truth every chance I get. If I don't have nobody backing me up, I love the truth. And I'm going to tell it so help me God. And that's what we preachers got to do.
Amen.
And it, what the church ought to be doing now, you know what we ought to be doing now? Every pastor needs to get every leader into the house of God and do a shut-in. That's what God said, and that's what he said. And it's in Joel, if you're going to have a restoration and real revival, there's got to be a shut-in to break it. You got to prep for the last glory that's coming. Prepare, prep for the last glory that's coming in. And if you don't do it, don't expect your church to have an outpouring. God is going to smite you and continue to scatter the flock. He won't trust you with nobody. Then after a while, something going to happen to you. It's going to happen to you. He's going to keep sending rebuke to leadership. He's not going to keep sending this kind of word like this man just went and picked that for nothing. No, I'm a prophetess, and I bear witness that this is God. God is speaking through this man of God. And great is his reward for his obedient and everyone that bear witness to the truth. Blessed are you. Blessings on you. God bless you, Apostle.
Thank you so much, Prophetess Kershey. We thank God for you, and we know that you were busy. You had to be busy, and it was important. You told me that. But whatever day you can come in this week, you just let me know. Let me know. You know, I told you it was all right. It was okay because you had an emergency. That's all right. And God recognized that. You know, I hold no holds on anyone. You know, it's all about God. We are working for God. All of us are working for God. Nobody worked for me. Nobody worked for me. I'll say this in 2010. This is 2022. I say the same thing. I'm just a watchman. This ministry don't belong to me. It don't belong to my wife. It don't belong to my children, my grandchildren, or great-grandchildren. It belongs to Jesus Christ. That's why he said, has the name of this, God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. That's, he gave that to me. I didn't choose that. When he called me in 2010 to start this ministry, because I was helping this lady who I ordained in Houston, Texas. She's a pastor. And when I was on the line, there was some things that went on the line. She had a prayer line. And some things went on the line that was not biblical. It wasn't glorifying God. And God says, I need you to see all this stuff. Just like when he took me to Las Vegas. He wanted me to see the stuff that was going on in ministry. That wasn't a ministry of men. It was hundreds upon hundreds of pastors and apostles and bishops and all, you know, the whole fivefold ministry. And we were at the Revere Hotel. That's where the ministry was, in that big ballroom. But I was staying at the MGM Hotel. My pastor paid everything for us to go. But the Lord had me in that pack to see what he didn't want me to believe, to be, become. And so many these preachers that can preach, I tell you, prophets, these preachers can preach, man. I mean, didn't even have to look in the book. And I mean, one preacher that was preaching had the whole dictionary, the whole dictionary inside his stomach. I mean, that man was calling words that you had to call for a translator. But when he finished, his lifestyle didn't match up. It didn't match up. And you know, when you in Las Vegas, you in Sin City. That's one of the cities of sin, just like Louisiana. And I tell you something, just like Washington, D.C., just like Boston, Massachusetts, those are sin cities. And that man was acting just like the other people. I mean, if you heard him preaching, he was preaching with such tenacity. But the Lord said, just watch, just watch, just watch. And then after he finished, that man was tore up from the floor. Because, you know, in Las Vegas, when you go to a hotel, they got everything in the hotel. I mean, I tell you no lie. They got everything. If you've been to Las Vegas before, they got everything in the hotel. You can get a whore right there. You can get a gay. You can get a prostitute. You can get a lesbian. You can pick up some dope. You can get everything. It's in the hotel. It's right there. And the Lord said, look, that man came over there. He went to the bar. And when he leave the bar, he was tore up. And he was messing with the prostitutes. I said, wow. And, you know, when you hear a preacher preach like that, you say, man, I want to get the word like that man get it. But I didn't want the word like he got it. I want it like Jesus is. He is the word. That's what I want to get. But I thank God for you, Papa, to say you can come back on anytime. Just let me know, Thursday or Friday, whatever day you want to come in, you know. You know, just let me know. Just text me and let me know when you're coming in, and I will set the position for you. But we had a great time.
Apostle, I'm off all this week on vacation, so if you need me, let me know, too.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. God bless you.
We'll do. We'll do. Tomorrow's what, Tuesday? We will have you come in on get yourself ready for Wednesday. I don't want to tell you tomorrow, but tomorrow's too short. You coming on Wednesday, okay, Minister Jones?
Yes, sir. No problem.
You coming on Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
God is good. I got some things that I'm working on right now, and that I'm gonna really need help says. I'm glad that the Washingtons are coming back in too, because I got a guy just called me. I did some work for him last year in the heat of the winter. One of his boarders, he got three big boarders in his house, a big house, and I had to go over there. I think the Lord just kept me. I tell you, I know the Lord is keeping me, because that place was so bad. His system was so bad. When I was cleaning the system, my lungs got filled with soot. That when I blew in the tower, in the house, the tower was just covered in soot. And normally I should have gotten sick, but the Lord kept me. Even a customer, when he called my house, he said, Minister, you all right? I said, I'm good. God got me, because I work for the Lord, and I know I just believe. See, I've always carried a belief that I would live to 106 years when I was a little boy. I wouldn't even say, but I had that in my mind. I said, Lord, I want to live to 106. I didn't even know why I was asking the Lord that. You know, and all of my, I looked and see that my father and my mother died before they was even 70, before they was even six, little under 60. And the Lord is keeping me healthy. And I'm almost this year, on October 16th, I'll be 73 years old. And I'm in good shape, you know, healthy. But the man called me the other day. He sent me a message that he want me to change all three of his boilers. And that's a very big job, you know, a very big job. I mean, I can do all the work myself, but, and this is what I'm going to do. I got this other brother that, you know, he's a little slippery, so I have to pay attention very much, you know. You know, he is one of them people that say I'm saved. But I'm not his judge, but his actions and his motives don't line up with salvation. You know, if you save, you don't use tricks on people, you know, because his basis is money. He tell me, well, I got $90,000 in the bank. Me and my wife got over $90,000, but you're still trying to rip off somebody for $1,000, you know, $100, $200, you know, that don't make sense to me. You know, I don't have that kind of money. But I still ain't going to rip off nobody for $500 or $1,000 or $2,000 or $10,000, you know, because that's not my life, you know. My life is holiness. That's what my life is based on, and not sin. If you when you get to meet me, Minister Jones, you'll see that I live, my life, it speaks for itself. I tell the preachers, I said, I am without exempt, you know, I'm without accusations.
That's true.
You know,
that's
in the
right.
Church and outside the church, I live this life. You know, you can say anything you want to, but I know, and God knows, you know what I'm saying? I live this life, you know. Not perfect, hear what I'm saying, but I'm being perfected. Ah, Jesus, thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm being perfected. I'm not perfect. You know, once you get that, know the mindset, you know, God is perfecting all of us. None of us are perfect. We may know the word, we speak the word, eat the word, but we are not perfect. He is perfecting us. We are going to become perfect when we meet him, when we are caught up with him. We're going to take on everything that he is. As the Bible said, we'll be just like him. My God, that means we'll be perfect. You hear me? Glory to God. But while we're here in this earth realm, he's perfecting us. Because the spirit man is perfect. Listen to me. Oh, my God. That's a whole different teaching, the prophetess. The spirit man is perfect. But the flesh man is not perfect. That's why God is working with us all the time. Because God saved the soul at Calvary, but the flesh wasn't saved. That's why you see preachers can be, they can preach with such tenacity that, oh my God, they know the dictionary, they know the Hebrew, the Greek, and they'll get off that pulpit and go right out in sin. Because that flesh is not saved. And we have to put that flesh under the blood. You know, the flesh got to go underneath the blood every day, not today, not tomorrow. That's why you repent every day, not for the soul. Repent for the flesh, because the flesh trying to pull that soul into damnation. You see, so we repent every day for that flesh, so to put that flesh under subjection. But I thank God, Minister James, you're coming on our Wednesday. Hopefully, my mama will come on Thursday or Friday, and we have a great time in the Lord all the time, great time. Yes, God is keeping us, and he is blessing us so we can be a blessing. You know, he is keeping us. And we have to live not only financially, not only physical, but our lifestyle must bless people. Do you know that? People think, well, I just bless somebody because I gave them $200, $500, $1,000. No, your life bless people. People being blessed by the way you live. And they're being cursed by the way you live. And people say, well, I thought he was a preacher. Man, I ain't know he act like that. I ain't know she act like that. You know? Well, you curse that person. That person has put so much on you. They were looking at you as a mentor, not, even though they didn't say that. But they're looking at you, man. You know, every time I hear, man, Mr. Jones, he's got such a good thing to say about the Lord. Man, he's a man of God. But when they meet you and see you talking to your wife and your children out of order, you're talking to them any way you want to treat them, man, they have a different look at you, you know. So, but I live this life. I live this and not with pride and not a boastful. I live it this way because I know I've always had this mindset that God watching me. No, when I was sitting in the world, I wouldn't even think about God. I just doing my thing. But once I got in to know him, not know of him, when I got to know him, everything I do, I'll think about the Lord. Man, the Lord hear me. The Lord hear me. The Lord watching me. And now I know this time that I went out of order and I raised my voice at my wife. And the Lord said, no, you, that's not the way you talk to her. She's your queen. She's your helpmeet. That's the one I guess. Honey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to raise my voice. I go right back in there. I don't let them wait till the day or the night or the morning. I said, honey, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to raise my voice. You know, I never put my hand on her. When she was acting, we was younger, we was acting a fool. I walk out the house and stay outside. Stay in the car till she get quiet. I never put my hand on her because I always count her as one that was given to me by the Lord. You know, she was given to me by the Lord. That's why we are over 43 years married together. And I ain't had no other wife, just her. Yes, sir. You know. So we thank God and praise God for you. If anybody have a word they want to share, you can come on in. If you don't, we're going to ask Minister Jones to close us out. We'll see you all on tomorrow.
Amen.
Come on in, Brother Deacon. And then Minister Jones will close us out.
Amen. Amen. Pray the Lord. Pray the Lord, Apostle. Pray the Lord. We pray the Lord to you and say, Lord, everyone, that we just thank God on the beautiful day. We thank God for this beautiful Monday evening. We thank God the last day, last month of July. We thank God July for to come to an end. Month of July, the 7th month of July. We getting ready for the 8th month. August be the 8th month. So we be looking forward. We just thank God he kept it all through July. We just thank God that we are here. We're here to pray the Lord. We're here to look up the name of Jesus. I just thank God I had the opportunity to come and listen to that word. But even though sometimes I don't say much like I should, but I thank God, but I'm here. I thank the Lord that I'm here. I thank God that I was able to come and hear the word of God. You know, when you get something out of it, put something in it. But if you don't put nothing in it, it's not going to happen. You put something in it. And, you know, that's the truth. If you're not going to get something out of it, if you don't get something in it, you ain't going to put nothing in it. You don't put something in it. But I just thank God. What I heard on today, I really, it was a blessing to be here. And in the name of Jesus, I just thank God I had an opportunity to come and to say something. Thank God. I thank God on Saturday night. I thank God what we had on Saturday night. I thank God for coming on Saturday because I had an opportunity to come. It always was opportunity to heal, to come and lift up the name of Jesus. Even though God is pleased who come, who don't come, but God is pleased with everything that what he will do because he's pleased who come, even though the Bible say in the book of Matthew, with two or three are gathered, God is in the midst. God is in the midst. And we just thank God, even though we gotta go on regardless, the word went forward. God is pleased. He sees what everything what has been said. Everything, he's pleased. And we just truly thank God. Thank God for what, on the word that what had been said. Thank God, even though the word went forward on today. And I just truly say, I just thank the Lord for coming on, coming to hear the word of God, even though on Sunday, even though on Saturday. I was on Saturday, and I was phone had dropped. So I had just got work, his phone had dropped. I was on the highway, it had dropped. And I just thank God I had opportunity to come hear the word of God. You know, I'm always glad to hear the word of God. I never was put to leave and jump off the line, because even though the word of God is always going to stay, the word is going to stay regardless. I can speak for my own. I can speak for D. I don't speak for nobody. I thank God. I can pray the Lord by myself. And no one ain't going to praise the whip, but I can praise it by myself. Now, that's on anyone who want to praise him. But I tell you what, if you don't praise him enough, guess what? The rock going to cry out if you don't praise him. Then that's right. If the rock, if you don't praise him, guess what? The rock going to cry out. Because I don't want a rock to cry out. For me, no, I don't. Because I can praise the Lord. Oh, my mouth and praise the Lord. I don't come in and look cute and look pretty for nobody. I don't come here for that. No, I come and give God a praise. I come and give him all the honor. That's what I come here for. I don't want to come in and look at somebody. I can look at my own self first. Look myself in the mirror. Huh? I look at my own self in the mirror. If I look at somebody, guess what? I didn't look at my own self first. See, I can't look at nobody else. I can't do it. I got to watch my own self. In other words, look around my own front door. That's what I need to do, sweep around my own front door. That's right. And, you know, William Brothers say that all the time. He said it in their song. Sweep around your own front door. That's right. So I got to look at my own fault. Look at my own fault, what I've done. Get into my lane. Stay in my own lane. That's right. Get into my lane. Stay in my own lane. Because one thing about a lane ain't gonna run to me. I better try to jump my own lane. Get my own lane for myself. That's right. Look at my own self first before I look at somebody else. Because even though I gotta try to always gotta get myself straightened out first. You know, I ain't always been right. I ain't always been perfect. None of us are not perfect. None of us are not perfect. Even Romans said, Even Romans tell us that. We said all the time in the book of Romans, all of us fell short of the sin. That's what the book of Romans said. Romans tell us in the third chapter, the 23rd verse, tell us that. Romans tell us. That's why we do the prayer of salvation every day. We do it every day. And like you were saying about judging, we always get mad about. So I get judged. I get judged all the time. Look, I get judged too. I need to be judged. I need to know what the stuff I'm doing wrong. I can't look at nobody but my own fault. I got to look at me first for what I done. Even I know what I used to do. I done the thing that really wasn't right. But I got to ask the Lord to fix me first. Fix me like I never been fixed before. And that's right. If no one can't do it, guess who would do it? God would do it. God would do it. Won't he do it? He would do it. He would do it. He would do it all the time. He would do it. He would do it if you put a trust in the Lord. He would do it. Because he won't fail you, and he won't forsake you. He won't forsake us all. He won't never forsake us. And that's what book of Hebrew tell us that. He will never leave us. He will never leave us alone. He will never leave us. And that's one of the things. That's why I don't look at nobody, how they are. I don't look at nobody but my own self. I don't brag. I don't go in bragging about what I got. I got this. I don't like all that bragging. If I want to brag, I'm going to brag to the Lord. I'm going to brag to Jesus. Because some of we brag too much. It's too much bragging around, Papa. It's too much bragging about yourself, about what they got, but what the hell. They got this, and they got cars, they got Rolls Royce and all that, Ben Mercedes, and got trucks and all that. It's too much what they bragging about. And what they need to be bragging, need to brag to the Lord. And what I need to brag to Jesus. Brag to the Lord, because one thing I'm happy for, I'm happy that I brag to Jesus. I don't look at what the next person have. I got to look at my own fault. Because, see, you know what, that's enough. Even though I don't do like the next person might have, I might not have the clothes what I want, but I thank God when he give me, I might not wear no $400 suit. But I'm even I thankful for what the Lord give me. I thank the Lord for that. Huh? I think even though I thank God for the even the shoe that I even the tennis shoe, what you doing wearing? Or wearing $135 Nike shoe for? And you know that's so expensive. Wearing them shoe, wearing a high price Nike tennis shoe. And you know it's really high. And we can't even go and help the poor. Living heaven to give a land to a poor, help somebody. And you know, we can't hardly help nobody. And you know that's sad. We can't help to do anything. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I love wearing tennis shoes, don't get me wrong. But that don't move me, But only thing in my life, God come first. God would come first in my life. God come first. He come first in my life. That's not important to me. That's not even important. Even I say money isn't everything. Because we all don't know when we're gonna leave this world. We don't never know. So we got to stay in the world. We got to get in the face of the word of God. We got to get in the face. And we all got to remember, we got to mean that what we say. We got to mean that how bad we want Jesus, how bad we want the Lord, how bad we need Jesus, how bad we need him. We can't go around and be playing with the word of God, because God not no plaything you can play. And that's right. He not no plaything you can go, you be best all over the floor, jumping all over the floor and all that. He not concerned about that. He not concerned. And we just jumping up, bouncing them down, rolling, just dancing, getting all on the floor, just rolling, going all in the leg, preacher's leg, and all that old junk. God ain't concerned about that. We're not concerned about all that. You know, as you say, all this foolishness, it is no a bunch of foolishness. It is foolish. It's so foolish. One thing I can't stand to be foolish. That's why I always say, God get tired of it. He's sick of it. He's very tired of it. He's very tired. He's tired. It ain't my word. It's what Genesis says. If you don't believe Berean, he'll tell you he's tired of it. It ain't me. It's just Genesis said that. I ain't say that. It was Jesus said. He's talking about he's going to sit up talking about God. Well, you know, it's true. God is tired. He is tired. He is tired. It don't bother me. It don't bother me. Who don't? It don't bother me. I don't worry about who don't show. Only God are showing out. Only God is showing out. He's showing out. I'm not concerned about what folks do. I'm not people pleasing no more. Not like I used to. Cause that don't concern me no more. I'm not concerned about that. The only thing in my life, God is first thing in my whole life. That's what that's about. God is everything in my life. I don't worry about who don't come. But I tell you what, as long as I pray the Lord, as long as I praise God, I can praise Him everywhere I go. I can praise Him in the shower. I can praise Him in the tub. I can praise Him at home. And whatever they laugh about, you can laugh at me all you want. I'm gonna still pray the Lord. I give God a praise. It don't bother me. I'm gonna pray the Lord. Whatever you do, whether you make fun or not, I'm gonna pray the Lord. That's right. He gonna look at me crazy up side my head, up here, all kind of head. I'm gonna pray the Lord. That's right. That's the truth. Whatever they say. And we always got to remain how we truly say how we love each other. If we truly better mean it. But if we don't mean it, what we say, we just waste some breath. We got to mean what we say. So I just thank God what I heard on today. I enjoyed what I heard on the word on today. And may God continue the blessing on the word, what has been said. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
And Brother Deacon, now Minister James, we thank God for you, Deacon, and thank you for your faithfulness to the kingdom. God will do greater works in you and through you. Just trust Him, depend on Him, and don't let no one move you. Just keep standing flat-footed. Minister Jones, go ahead and pray us out, and we thank God for you. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank God for Deacon. You continue this pressing on God. God, you rest. Father, we just thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, God. We thank you for your word in you. Today, that Lord, that was on your word, Lord, your concern about leadership. And Lord, we thank you, Lord. We continue praying for our leaders in the name of Jesus, Lord, that they'll get in the place, Lord, and put things back the way you wanted them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, like the things that like they were, Lord, in the name of Jesus, only you can do it, God. God, we just pray, God, that you continue to deal with them. Anoint our leaders, God, to do your will, God, in the name of Jesus, that people will come to repentance, Lord, and turn their heart back to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. You have all power in your hand, God. Without you, Lord, we can't do nothing. So, Lord, we just thank you today for the bread of your broadcast, God. We continue blessing, Lord, Apostle Calendar, all the apostles and ministers and the prophets of the only prayer line is already your broadcast, God, and deacons, God, and ministers, God, of the gospel, and those that are not saved, God, we ask you, God, that you continue, God, give them the heart of the Lord, God, to give them, turn their heart continue fully over to you, God, they'll be saved and full of your power, full of your spirit, in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you today, Lord, we bless your holy name, we plead the blood of Jesus over everything that the enemy tried to do, we plead the blood of Jesus against every tactic, Lord, that every word will not go out forward. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that your word will go out, Lord, and that a seed and a fruit will come forth. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we forever bless your name, and we give your name the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Jones. We'll see you all on tomorrow. This is Lord's Will. We'll be back on Blog Talk tomorrow. Thank you so much for the closing prayer. Now for your comment. Thank you, Mama. Remind her that she can either come in Thursday or Friday. Just let me know. God bless. Have a blessed evening. Safe evening. Safe day. God bless. Bye-bye.